ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശ്രീശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ഉണന്തപുരി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോർധാമിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് റായ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ബൃന്ദമായിക്ക് ജീവനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ്രി
ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീളിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം സജീവം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ട സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായ ദേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശീ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോ ഭംഗോ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംഭോജൌ രാധാ മദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ത്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമദാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രശാലിവി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനീർഗോപേർഗോവിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തു നാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിയുര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Rasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Radavarshani Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavadgite Bhavadveshini Namostu Dev Yasavishala Buddhe Kularavindaya Tapatra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradiva Prapanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Panaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gita Madaluhe Nama Sarva Upanishado Gavum Bhogda Gopala Nandana Patho Valsa Sudhir Bhogta Dugdham Gita Madam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devahi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Vishmadrona Dada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalyagrahavadi Krubena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalubanda Vairanadi Vartaka Keshavam Parashajevaja Sarojamamalam Vidarthagandhol Kadam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harigada Sambodhana Bodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadeir Haraha Heviyamanam Muda Puyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Tadhum Sinashreyase Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lankayade Girim Yalkravadamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruda Stvanyundi Divyai Stavair Vede Sangapadair Pramopanishadair Gayantiyam Samagaha Jnanavasthita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Vidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namam. So, the summary of the last two chapters of the eighth canto. Mahavali, after hearing from Lord Vamana Murthy, Mahavali paid obeisances to Vamana Murthy, and earlier when the conversation started, Mahavali had this impression in him, is Vamanamurti trying to punish me for what I have done? But Mahabali fell at Vamanamurti's lotus feet and paid obeisances to him and spoke in this way to Vamanamurti. Mahabali says to Vamanamurti that what have I done that you have decided to give this mercy to me in this way? Only when Prahlada came on the scene and said to Vamanamurti that what you have shown to my grandson is a lot more than what Narasimhamurti has shown to me. Narasimhamurti has put the hand over his head and blessed him. Whereas Mahabali had the higher blessing that Vamanamurti put his feet on Mahabali's head and blessed him, which is considered a higher blessing from Krishna's side. So, that Mahabali realized his foolishness for what he has done, what he spoke. So he says to Mahabali, says to Vamanamurti, that I thought that I was giving in charity the three planetary systems to you, but have I really given you a charity? He says, now I realize to whom it belongs to. Mahabali says that. Now I realize to whom these three planetary systems belongs to. And actually it is your property. And only thing I can say is, I have handed over your property back to you. That is all it is. He said, your own property, I have handed it over back to you. Foolishly, I thought, it's my own. It's my own. So therefore, I haven't done anything to get your mercy. I haven't done anything. What have I done? He said, but one thing has happened here, that to be blessed in this way from you, I don't think I have any credentials to ask for this. But one thing, when you walked into this Yagashala means where the sacrifice is going on. When you walked into this Yagashala, that a Brahmana boy with a tremendous effulgence on his face, spiritual effulgence on his face, I'm supposed to pay my obeisances to him when he has walked inside. But I didn't do that. I should have done that. This we are talking about at the beginning. When Vamanamurthy walked in first time to the Yagashala, Mahabali noticed him walking in. But he should have gone and paid obeisances, being a Brahmana and being a little boy, seeing the Brahman effulgence in him. He didn't do that. But I didn't do that. But I felt respectful in my heart towards you, and I bowed my head down as a mark of respect. But maybe it is for that you have given me all this mercy, because I have shown some respect at least at that time. Who can talk about your mercy? Mahabali says. Mahabali paid obeisances to Vamanamurthy and says to him, at that time, Vamanamurthy turned around and spoke to Prahlada. He says to Prahlada, that take him and both of you go to Sutalam. And Mahabali and Vamanamurthy sent everybody to Sutalam. They all left. They all went away. After that, Vamanamurthy called Shukracharya to come. And there is a conversation between Vamanamurthy and Shukracharya there. So here, the sacrifice is not complete. It's halfway this whole thing happened. Halfway it has happened. So there is an injunction in the Shastram that any yagam, if it's not completed, that's not good. It should be completed by all means. So Vamanamurthy says to Shukracharya, the yagam is not complete. It should be completed. So that went into Shukracharya's ears, and Shukracharya started thinking, purpose of every sacrifice is to please the Lord, to please Krishna or Vishnu. Now Vamanamurthy has come here. So is the yagam not complete if he is satisfied? This is Shukracharya's mind. And not only that, the personality who was running, the Yajamanan, or the personality who was running the sacrifice was Mahabali. And Mahabali has already left the scene. He has gone away. And but Shukracharya is thinking that I am the priest for the whole sacrifice. I'm a part of that. So he thought that, I don't know what Vamanamurthy is thinking about me, Shukracharya is saying that, but he wanted to say to Vamanamurthy that, is this yagam actually complete? Is this actually complete? That I am the acharya or the purohit for the yagam, and I have been paid for that by Mahabali. So, because he is getting paid from Mahabali, he couldn't say anything about it. To Vamanamurthy, what can I say? It appears as though that Vamanamurthy understood the situation. So he, Shukracharya said, Shukracharya has been paid by Mahabali. Mahabali maintained Shukracharya. So because he is maintained by Mahabali, Shukracharya couldn't say anymore anything to Vamanamurthy. So he says to Vamanamurthy that my Yajamanan, which is Mahabali, has performed this sacrifice for your pleasure. and he has got the benefit, result from that, and he has left the place and gone away. Why do I have to continue with this yagam now? It's over, isn't it? The business is over. So keeping all these things in the mind, Shukracharya spoke to Vamanamurti. At that time, Vamanamurti says to Shukracharya in this way, he says to him that it is my instruction that this should be completed and nothing else to be spoken anymore. And you have to complete this, and there is a process called Avabhradasnanam. Avabhradasnanam means after big sacrifices and spiritual ceremonies are over, there is a system is that everybody go together to a holy river and bathe in the river. This is the normal process in everywhere. So that is called Avabhradasnanam. Avabhradasnanam means that after you have finished your sacrifice, everybody go together and bathe in a holy river like Narmada or Kaveri or Ganga river or Yamuna river, wherever it may be. So they decided to go and complete this Avabhradasnanam. At that time, Vamanamurti says to Shukracharya that you still have a complaint that you were not given anything in this sacrifice. You didn't get any benefit from this. Shukracharya just smiled when Vamanamurti said that. So it is at that time Vamanamurti says to Shukracharya, Krishnavataram, when I come as Krishna, it will be in your daughter's family. Shukracharya's daughter is Devayani. It is in Devayani's family Krishna has appeared. That is the benediction to Shukracharya. The blessing given to Shukracharya in that. In all these, this is Krishna's Leela, isn't it? In Leela, we can't take one side or the other. Krishna is performing a Leela here and showing to us, but in that Leela, all these personalities are coming. Mahabali comes, Shukracharya comes, Hiranyaksha comes, Hiranyakashipu comes, so many personalities comes there. But Shukracharya was more than happy to hear that Krishnavataram is going to happen in Devayani's family. That means through Devayani, then we had Yayadi and Yadu. Through Yadu, Krishna came. Isn't it? Yadu came in Devayani's lineage. And Yadu's family, Krishna's appeared. What other better benediction you can have than that Krishna's desire to appear in that family itself. So, it was at that time, there are so many other great personalities who were present there. So, another great soul was there, who was Jambavan. Jambavan was there. From Ramayanam time, he is there. Jambavan is sitting there. So, when... So, in this Vamanavataram, what does Jambavan do? If you look at that verses, you will see that 21st chapter. Eighth verse. Jambavan Raksha Rajastu Bheri Shabder Manojavam Vijayam Dikshu Sarvasu Maholsava Makoshayal. As soon as this incident happened, Jambavan takes the drum and starts beating. And he says to them, Jambavan is announcing there that Vijayam Dikshu Sarvaso, announcing the success of Vamanamurti all over the world, and to tell the world that Mahabali has been sent to Suthalam. And so Jambavan takes the drum and starts beating and announcing to the world, and he is jumping from one mountain to another mountain because he is such a powerful personality, isn't it? So then he says that the whole planetary systems is all under now Vamanamurti's control, not anymore under Mahabali. Everything has been given back by Mahabali to Vamanamurti. So, therefore in future, everybody should pay their dues to Vamanamurti, not to Mahabali anymore. This announcement came from Jambavan. So, So, because Jambavan has done all these things, Vamanamurti understood that. That's okay. Vamanamurti understood that Jambavan is expecting something. Like Shukracharya was expecting, Jambavan was also expecting something. So, and he has some desire inside. Who? Jambavan has a desire inside. Jambavan wanted to marry his daughter, Jambavati, to Vamanamurti. That was in his mind. So Krishna says, Vamanamurti says to him that in this appearance it's not possible. It's not possible at this time. In the next one, also not possible. I have taken a vow that I will only have one wife. That is Ramchandra's appearance. That was the next one. That's also not possible. But after that I'll come as Krishna. That time bring her. I'll marry her. Jambavan looked at Vamanamurti. Yeah. How old she will be then for Krishna to marry her. This was Jambavan was thinking. How is that possible? That Jambavan himself got confused about that. So he says, how old she will be then? Jambavan asked that question. Already she is ready to be married. And she has been waiting for that. And so Krishna Avataram, when is that going to happen? And how old he will be? Krishna says, don't worry about that. Jambavati will never get old. She'll always be 16 or 17 years old. She's never going to get old, he says. So that is why Jambavati was married to Krishna in Krishnavataram. When you remember that Samantaka jewel story where the marriage happened, Jambavati was still 17 years old. What does he say? This time and space is something we have to get rid of from our head. When actually, if Krishna wants it, there is no such thing called a time. There's no such thing called space. But when it is banged into our head strongly, our mind will work in that way. Everything is subjected to time. So Krishna says to him that, so how will I know? Jambavan says, Jambavan is a Chiranjeevi. He lives forever. And he gets old, but he doesn't die. He lives for all. So that is why when that Samantaka jewel episode happened with Satyabhama's father got killed, Satrajit got killed, and then Prasenan also got killed, his brother, and then chasing the lion, and then later on entered into the cave, Krishna goes into the cave. When he got there, he saw this Samantaka jewel there. And it was at that time that there was a fight inside the cave where Jambavan was living in the cave. So by now, one whole Tretayugam finished, Dwaparayugam is almost coming to an end. So imagine how long that time gap is. So Jambavan says to Krishna, Vamanamurti, how will I recognize you at that time that you are the person who is going to marry my daughter? Vamanamurti says, I'll make you understand at that time. I will make you understand at that time who I am, he said. And when the fight happened, 28 days they fought each other, Jambavan and Krishna. They fought each other inside the cave. And Krishna gave some punch at that time to Jambavan. When he got that punches, Jambavan realized this is the person we were talking about. That is how he understood. So that's what Krishna said. He said, I'll make you realize who is Krishna is. So then Krishna punched Jambavan on the 28th day. Jambavan collapsed the first time. In Ramayanam, even Ravana tried to punch Jambavan. Jambavan was not shaken. That is the strength of Jambavan. He's such a strong person. But when he got it from Krishna's hand, then what did he say? Shubramashi says there, normally we offer flowers to Krishna. In the flower offering, isn't it? Krishna did a punching offering to Jambavan. And Jambavan also offered back lot of punches to Krishna. But when he got finally Krishna's punches, he realized it, that this is the person who had come to marry Jambavati. And it was at that time that... And when he got the punches, he realized the self, who Jambavan. So self-realization happens in different ways to different people. Some people get punched and they realize the self, what the self is, isn't it? So Jambavan realized the self when he got the punches for 28 days, when he got it. So that is Krishna, that's Krishna. Immediately, he brought Jambavati and handed over to Krishna. So, Vamanavadaram, the beauty of Vamanavadaram is, everybody has been blessed. Shukracharya got what he wanted, Jambavan got what he wanted, Mahabali got what he wanted, Indra got what he wanted. So, everybody got there, Krishna has blessed everyone in that Vamanavadaram. So this is the interesting part of the Vamanavadara story. And but what about us? What is the prasadam for us? So Shuka Brahmarshi says in the Bhagavadam that prasadam for us, for the listeners, is that because we get our prasadam from Shuka Brahmarshi. We are Shuka Brahmarshi's followers, isn't it? Sri Shuka gives us the prasadam. Sri Shuka says here that anyone who hears Vamanavadaram, he reads or he hears, and he heard it somewhere, in some way or the other, that they will all be blessed by the forefathers, Pitralokam. They get blessed by the Pitrudevadas and also by the demigods. They get blessed by them, he says. So that is the blessing from the story of Vamanavadaram. So Vamanavadaram finishes there. With that, Vamanavadaram finishes. Immediately after that, in the Bhagavadam, you will see the fish incarnation spoken. The last chapter, that was the 24th chapter, is fish incarnations. Why fish incarnation came up there straight away, immediately after Vamanavadaram? Reason is, when Parikshit asked this question about Vamanamurti's pastimes with Mahabali, when everything was spoken, Shuka Brahmarshi in that samadhi state, this came up, this Malsimurti. Malsyavadaram came up because Malsyavadaram and Vamanavadaram are very similar. Why? Vamanamurti appeared, suddenly grew big. Malsyavadaram is also like that. Appeared as a small fish and then suddenly grew big. So seeing these two pastimes similar, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi decided to give Malsyavadaram straight away to... That is why that last chapter in the 8th canto is fish incarnation. Otherwise, there is no closer relationship. It is not chronological order correct either. Because fish incarnation happened way before than Vamanavadaram. But it is spoken after the Vamanavadaram here. But if you look at the 10 incarnations, Malsyam Gurmam Varaham Narsimham, then comes Vamanam. Malsyam is much bigger, much before. But the reason why Malsyavadaram was spoken at that time is this. That suddenly in Shuka Brahmarshi's meditation, he remembered this. Srimad Bhagavatam, what we are reading now, is only a very small part of what originally exists in the Bhagavatam. But at that 7 days, what came into Shuka Brahmarshi's thoughts and what he spoke to Parikshit, and what Sudha Goswami heard and spoke to Shavanagrishi and others, that's what we are reading in the book form. But in many places you will see in the Bhagavadam itself, Shuka Brahmarshi says, I can sit here for 100 crores of years and talk, he says, about Bhagavadam. It is endless. Sandhya Nandhani Bharata, he says. Sandhya Nandhani Bharata means there is unlimited it is. But as and when in these 7 days, while he was sitting and talking to Parikshit, whatever that was coming up inside, he was speaking. So that is how you have to see Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is not only these two books. We have this misunderstanding that Bhagavadam is finished with these two 18,000 verses. No. Bhagavadam is so big that Shuka Brahmarshi is saying that even 100 years if I sit and talk about it, it will never finish. That is because as and when he is remembering pastimes of Krishna in different forms, in different places, in different times. He is speaking all that. But he knows the limitation that only in 7 days' time Parikshit has to go. So whatever that has come up, he has spoken at that time. And there is unlimited thing which has not spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That exists. But that Shuka Brahmarshi knows, but that we don't have it today. So Malsyavadara. Malsyavadara means this fish incarnations. This nature that suddenly getting bigger after appearance, what happened to Vamanamurti has happened to the fish also. So the king, Parikshit Maharaj, said that I would like to hear that. And it is a very interesting incarnations, this fish incarnation. King Satyavrata king, for performing Sandhyavandanam, went into the Kritamala river. So when he went to Kritamala river, generally the system is you stand in the river and take the water in the hand and offer it to the for Sandhyavandanam to the sun god, recognizing Krishna who is present in the sun planet. That is how Sandhyavandanam is performed. You will see photographs even now in Ganga river, great devotees standing there and offering their water to the, that is a part of the Sandhyavandanam process. So King Satyavrata goes to Kritamala river and stands in the Kritamala river and took the water in the hand. And when he took the water, when he looked at the water, there was a small fish in the water, very small fish in the water. So thinking that it's by mistake it has come, he put the fish back into the water again. So the fish started speaking. Fish says to Satyavrata that, my dear king, that it's not by accident that I have come there. Knowingly, I have come into the water. I have come into the water. And don't throw me into the water again. There is big, big whales and sharks here. They will eat me up. So, I am a small little fish. Please give me shelter. The small fish is saying to the king. And the king was shocked. A fish is talking, and he couldn't understand that. So anyway, immediately the king took the fish again in the hand, and he thought that I will give some shelter to this small fish, because he's asking for the shelter. And being a king, naturally that tendency will be there. So he had his water pot with him. And in the water pot, he put some water in there and put this little fish into that water. And he thought we'll take it home, and normally maybe he had this, what we have these days, the glass house where people grow the fishes in it, in there. So he brought it to the palace and he wanted to put the fish into one of those tanks so he can look at the fish, this talking fish. So as soon as he put it in, the fish became big. The king was surprised. So suddenly it has grown so big. So what he did was, king thought that I'll take him from there and take him to a big lake nearby and put him in that lake. So the king took the fish there and put him in the lake, thinking that there'll be enough space for the fish to move around. And as soon as he put the fish into the lake, the fish started speaking again, says to the king that, look at that verse, if you look into the 24th chapter. Saying, the fish is saying, Kshipyamanastam ahedam ihamam agaradeya adandyadi bala veera mam nehod srashtum arhasi. He is saying that നമ ഇൻ ദ 20th വേഴ്സ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക്, നമ ഏതതലം രാജൻ സുഖം വസ്തുമുദഞ്ജനം പൃഥു ദേഹി പദം മഹ്യം യൽ ത്വാഹം ശരണം ഗത. നമ ഏതതലം രാജൻ സുഖം വസ്തുമുദഞ്ജനം പൃഥു ദേഹി പദം മഹ്യം യൽ ത്വാഹം ശരണം ഗത. What was spoken was that when he was put in, taken from the, when he, the fish complained that the tank is not big enough, took him to a river and put him in the river. And then finally the fish again complained that this is not big enough for me. So took him to the ocean and put him in the ocean. So then the fish is saying to Satyavrata that, you have told me you will protect me, and now you have brought me and put me in this ocean. And here there is again, there are big, big whales here in this ocean. So you know that, he says to Satyavrata, and I am still very young, haven't I? Although in size I am big, but by age I am much younger than others. It's only hardly 1 or 2 days I am old. Therefore, you have to protect me. That's your duty. He says like that. So at that time, the king says that we will find out who are you first. We don't know who you are. But it looks to me that are you the supreme controller himself who has come like this? Satyavrata is saying this to him. That I have this doubt about you. The way you are saying, why did you not say this to me from the beginning? Why did you do all these things and give me this trouble? So, anyway, it's good that you have asked me that question. The fish is saying that I have come here to give you some mercy. I wanted to give you some blessings, and therefore I have taken this form. I have taken this form because I wanted to give you my mercy. Satyavrata says to him that I don't understand anything, what is going on. So the fish says, from 7th day from now, there will be heavy devastation will happen. Everything is going to go underneath the water. Do one thing, at that time when that happens, remember me, the fish says. There will be a boat will come, and the 7 rishis, 7 sages will come in that boat, and you can also get into that boat and meditate upon me. And I will show you, you know, the fish has got, what do they call it? Not fins. Some fish has got, what do they call that? I don't know what it's called in English.
Aerials.
Like the cow's horns, they have that horns there, isn't it? Yeah. What? Fins different, huh? Fins, not fins. So, tie that boat to that one of those horns, and then till the devastation is over, I will give you instructions about spiritual life at that time. I will give you instructions at that time. And saying this, that fish disappeared. So this is how the incarnation, fish incarnation happens. Sridhara Swami's commentary on this is interesting. What he is saying here is that tanum tanum vidarshyado nija aishwarya nidarshanal Malsim Prichadi Pridvisho Leelaya Vamanopamam. Means that Tanum Tanum Vidarshyado Nijaishwarya Nidarshanal. In Vamanavadaram, Krishna appeared as a small baby and then grew up suddenly and then grew big. As Lord Vamanamurti, Brahmachari grew into so big. And in that way showed the opulences to Mahavali, isn't it? In Vamanavadara. Similarly, he says here, Malsim Prichadi Pridvisho Leelaya Vamanopamam. And in showing that opulence, showing that particular opulence of becoming bigger like that, what he showed in the Vamana Avataram is similar to that in the fish incarnations. So that is why straight away this was spoken. Shrita Swami mentions that. Then, another thing, this devastation. Is this devastation real? Again the question. Like Markandeya's devastation, you remember, in the 12th canto. So, devastation is like this. When we, it is all experience at the end, what you experience inside. The same way, here, that King Satyavrata knew that devastation is going to come, because Vamanamurti told him. And so naturally, Satyavrata was preparing for the devastation. When you know that there's a devastation going to happen, you will try your best. Suppose the floods are coming, what will you do? You'll organize as best as you can. You'll store food and you will store all the necessities for survival, is it not? So the same thing, Malsimurti also did, Satyavrata also did the same thing. You can see, you don't know how long this devastation is going to happen. And in a similar way, that Satyavrata thought how long the devastation will be there. So he started organizing everything necessary for the for the devastation. Like you can imagine when we travel, how we organize prasadam first, isn't it? Rice, dal, sabji, everything we organize in the same way. Satyavrata also started organizing everything. And then what else did he do? He took the seeds of all the plants. He thought, if I have the seeds, once the floods goes away, I can sow those seeds. And he's intelligent that way. He thought, very calculative. He thought, if I have all the seeds, at least we can start again agriculture from there. So he took all the seeds, packed them up nicely in the bags and kept everything ready to get into the boat. So then the floods happened. So in that floods, as fish told him, a boat came, and the boat had all the seven sages, Saptarishis. They were in the boat. So they came in the boat and they told the king, you can load everything into the boat. And he got into the boat. With all the seeds and the food, what he has packed for the floods. And after getting in there, see there the verse, what he says here. Tamu jurmunaya pridam. Rajan dhyaya svakeshavam savaina sangadadasman avidasham vidhasyati. Tamujur munaya prida rajan dhyaya svakeshavam savaina sangadadasmal bhavidasham vidhasyati. Rajan Dhyayasva Keshavam. You can see a word there. Rajan Dhyayasva Keshavam. Asking the king to meditate upon Krishna. Dhyayasva Keshavam. But great devotees, there is no need to tell them to meditate. They are naturally in that meditation always. Like you can see, Prahlada always thought about Narasimham, even without being told. That is why Prahlada is called Prahlada Priya. Krishna is another name for Krishna is Prahlada Priya, who is very dear to Prahlada, isn't it? So, every incarnation, if you look, you will see there that different incarnations are for different individuals. Narasimham incarnation was for Prahlada. Vamana incarnations for Mahabali. This fish incarnations for Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, isn't it? So, Krishna's law is that that particular incarnation has to say to him, to meditation, for meditation. Like here, Vamanamurti, sorry, not Vamanamurti, fish incarnation, is a fish is saying to Satyavrata to meditate upon him. And what that means is, if a incarnation happens, the right to glorify that incarnation is for that devotee. Do you understand? Nobody else. Like Narasimha appeared, only Prahlada has got the right to glorify Narasimha. Because it's for Prahlada's purpose, Narasimha has appeared. Similarly, in Vamanamurti's incarnation also, Mahabali has got the right to glorify Vamanamurti. Nobody else. Shukracharya could have glorified, others could have glorified, but Vamanamurti has appeared for the sake of Mahabali, so Mahabali had to glorify. Similarly here, in fish incarnation, it is appeared for the sake of Satyavrata. Therefore, Satyavrata has to glorify fish, this fish incarnation. What is significance about this fish incarnation? This pastime of fish happened in Kridamala River. Kridamala River is near Kanyakumari. That's where this Kridamala River flows. And there is still a temple there where this fish incarnation happened. There is a temple. Temple might have been built much, much later because this incarnation happened way back. But it is this Satyavrata who comes later as Vaivasvata Manu. And it is Vaivasvata Manu called Shraddhadeva. And it is Shraddhadeva's family, Solar Dynasty begins. Vivaswan. Solar Dynasty begins from them. So, what is important here is, Lord Ramachandra appears in that Solar Dynasty. Isn't it? Vaivasvata Manu, Shraddhadeva, and in that dynasty, Vivaswan, which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, that evam parampara pratum imam rajarshayon vidu sagale neha mahada yoga nashta parandava. Isn't it? Imam vivaswade yogam. So that Vivaswan is that this Satyavrata who comes later as that. Satyavrata was the king of that land at that time, and who comes later as Vivaswan, and Vivaswan in that he Solar Dynasty begins from there. From this understanding, it proven that this Arya Dravida theory, what the Western historians created, is false. It has no standing. Bharatvarsham was never under any such rule. What they are saying, that a group of people came from further from the Arabian Peninsula to Iran and then through the Aryavarta, and the people who lived there were called Aryans and the others were called Dravideshwara. The word used is Dravideshwara in the Dravidam. It is true that the land is called Dravidam and Aryam, but practically there is nobody came from anywhere. They were the people who lived there from time immemorial. So you can see how historians have twisted everything and falsely taught this, and still it's followed and accepted by the education system. So anyway, that here, Saptarishis were there in that boat, and in that boat they are traveling for thousands of Chaturyugam. Imagine that. Thousands of Chaturyugam they have traveled in this boat. And just to again show to us, the rishis have a way of dealing with our ignorance. That if you understand that, then you will not have a problem. Otherwise, if we have that ignorance in us all the time about time and space and our logic and reasoning, if you try to bring that into Puranam, it will not work. Puranam does not work that way. Puranam is spoken in such a way that whatever that is causing an obstacle in self-realization, that has to be removed from inside. So for that purpose, when the rishis bring these stories in, they will put it in such a way to us that somehow or the other you should get the message in. And therefore deliberately they talk to you things in an indirect way. Instead of telling us straight away, time and space, even if they tell us time and space is not real, we won't accept it. So they have to prove it to us again and again and again through stories. And this is how stories comes in there. So in this Matsyavataram also, to show to us that 1000 Chaturyugam has gone. Remember I mentioned this before. One person asked Ramana Maharshi this question. That suppose, is it possible that somebody die and take a birth after 5 years somewhere else? What was Ramana Maharshi say? Ramana Maharshi says to him that he can die and he can take birth and he could be 75 years old when you see him. Because time and space has no meaning at all from the spiritual point of view. It has no meaning. But then why do we say time and space? Why do we create all these different Chaturyugam, this and the other? In the unrealized state, just like creation we talk about, we have to talk about time to give you some understanding, because you are conditioned by the time. Therefore, we have created all the yugam for that purpose. Otherwise, it has no meaning. From the spiritual point of view, all these Chaturyugams, Satkritam Treta Dwabaram Kali, all these Chaturyugams and everything, it doesn't mean anything, because time has no... time and space is born from the mind. It's not come from the soul. That's what it is. Time and space is born from the mind. Mind is telling me there is a thing called time. For our convenience in the Vyavaharam, we have created that and we nurture that. So similarly, this time and space, rishis wants to get it out this from us. Because if you have that perception, you will never realize that you are eternal. If you keep on holding on to the time. Why do we hold on to time? Because we think we are temporary. That's why we hold on to time, isn't it? I have to finish this work today because tomorrow I may not be there. So I have to do it today. This fear inside, this has grown so deeply inside that because we identify with the body. But once you identify with the soul, what meaning has it got? Soul is eternal. What is the need to worry about the time then? Time is not a factor anymore. So to get rid of this time conditioning from inside, the rishis use different ways of, through stories and through different episodes, they will bring this point to us that it's not making any sense to us. We will ourselves start seeing this later. Time is not making any sense in anything. So, therefore, here, traveling in this boat, time has run out so many thousands of years, and finally it's going to get, the water level is going down. So, Rajan Dhyayaswa Keshavam, meditate upon Krishna, he is doing that. And as soon as he started remembering Krishna and meditating on them, there was some water present in that darkness. There was total darkness as well. And this Malsimurti, which Krishna has appeared as Malsim, isn't it? Fish there. He belongs to this shark race. This appearance is the shark family. So he could see that horn coming out from the shark, and the king has tied everything to that shark. So and Krishna is going around in the water, pulling this boat in the shark form, like the shark fish. It's pulling this boat. The rishi, the king and the rishis are sitting in the boat, and Krishna is pulling this boat and wandering around in this water. So while going around, it is at that time the fish is instructing the king, and all those instructions is spoken elaborately, and that Puranam is called Malsivaranam. Malsivaranam is that incarnation where Lord Fish instructing King Satyavrata about transcendental knowledge. And there is something interesting and at that time the king glorifies that incarnation, fish incarnations. So, there you will see what is his glorifications. It begins with that verse 46 in the 24th chapter. 46 to 53. That is the 46 to 53 is the glorification of the fish by our king Satyavrata. That but what is interesting there is he says Nayal Prasada Yudhabhagalesham Anyeja Deva Guravo Jana Swayam Kartam Sametha Prabhavandipamsam Tamishwaram Twam Sharanam Prabhadye. 49 Nayal Prasada Yudhabhagalesham Anyeja Deva Guravo Jana Swayam Kartam Sametha Prabhavandipamsam Tamishwaram Twam Sharanam Prabhadye. That was what he had to say. He says to him that what is he saying is, suppose Krishna gets pleased with you to a little extent, very small extent. What's the nature? Nature is this, that only very little Krishna is pleased with somebody. That if you take that prasadam, prasadam means Krishna's mercy, isn't it? If you take that mercy from what comes from Krishna, if you make it into 10,000 and first into 1,000 pieces and then break it into another 10,000 and compare that with all the mercy of all the teachers in this world, spiritual masters, all the demigods, all the realized souls, all of them, if you add up all that, it won't even come to that small part, what Krishna can offer as a mercy. So, what he's saying is that after reading this verse, Nayal Prasada Yudhavagalesham Anyeja Devo Gurava Jana Swayam Kartum Sameda Prabhavandipam Sam Tomishwaram Tuam Sharanam Prabhadyam. What it is pointing out is that after knowing this, why are we wandering around in this world looking for somebody's mercy? If you will receive a little bit mercy from Krishna, very, very little, a very small part of mercy from Krishna, what do all the other realized souls and others can offer to you in this world is not at all comparable to that. That's what he's saying. So that is why this question is spoken. Evam durlabhya vastu abhi sulabhadaya hastalabdhe danya tanyuavacha dhiyava bhavati padajana shudra devas pudeyam. Why we should go and bow down to so many people when Krishna is there who has an unlimited amount of mercy, who can offer that? Why not take Krishna shelter? This is the question here. That is what fish is, that's what Satyavrata has to say. Satyavrata is saying that because when you are under Krishna shelter, it is like sitting underneath a desire tree. It's like a desire tree if you are underneath Krishna shelter. And desire tree means what? Desire tree can offer you anything what you are looking for if you really want it. But due to our lack of intelligence, we are thinking that rather than asking Krishna, we may ask somebody else in this world, isn't it? So that is not considered to be very intelligent. Shudra Devas Pudeyam, to go to somebody else for that purpose. So that is that story you have to understand from devotees who have experienced that mercy from Krishna. Mercy from, only they can tell you that. Only they can tell you that. So there are instances that sometimes devotees have been left in this world without being cared for. But Krishna has taken care of. There are many, many stories to talk about that. If you know this story of Mugundamala, Mugundamala, Kuleshagra Alwar wrote that Mugundamala. Mugundamala has a famous commentary on that, written by one Raghavendra Muni. That Raghavendra Muni's life is also very famous. He wrote a commentary on Bhagavatam called Krishnapadi, That's the commentary's name. And then similarly on Mugundamala, his commentary is very well known. So in one temple, this Raghavendra Muni, at his old age, he got very sick. And sick in the sense that he had a disease which was very contagious. All his skin, something similar to leprosy, he had problems. So he goes to this famous temple and he couldn't go inside with being sick like that. So what he did, quite a few yards away from the temple, there was a banyan tree. He's sitting underneath that banyan tree, lying there, fully sick and suffering. All over his body, the pus and other things are coming out from the body. And there are worms in that. And while he is lying underneath the tree, the birds are sitting on the tree. And from that, some of the fruits are falling off from the banyan tree on his body. And he's feeling the pain. And he's suffering heavily. Devotee he is. Great devotee. He's suffering this way. Villuvangalam comes into this temple for seeing Krishna. Now, personalities like Villuvangalam, when they walk into the temple, when they look at the deity, they will see actual Krishna there. That's their special power they have. They will notice if Krishna is there or not. We only see the deity form. We don't see Krishna there, isn't it? We see the deity. But personalities like Villuvangalam and all, when they walk into the temple, if they see the deity, they know whether Krishna is there or not. They can see Krishna in all dimensions inside the temple. So Villuvangalam comes to the temple and looked inside and he couldn't see Krishna there. Generally, he visited this temple quite often. And so he started thinking, where is Krishna gone? Why is Krishna not there? So he looked outside, everywhere around, thinking that if Krishna is around anywhere, he couldn't see him. It is at that time, Krishna spoke to him, "You can see me if you want to see me. Come outside. I'm sitting there underneath the tree with that devotee, Raghavendra Muni. He's sitting there." Villuvangalam walked back and he saw this person sitting there. And Krishna, what was Krishna doing there? Krishna is sitting there with this devotee and with a small stick taking out all the worms from his body, taking it away from his body, this person who has a... So Villuvangalam, being a sannyasi also, he had some disciples with him. They were telling Villuvangalam, sannyasis are not allowed to go to them. People who are very sick, that is a system. They don't go to them closer. So he says to them that we shouldn't go there. But Villuvangalam says, Krishna is doing this. What am I supposed to do? So he goes there and then see this devotee's condition like this. And Krishna is talking to this devotee who is suffering from this illness. So he says to him, Villuvangalam, I can't do anything. This devotee has got prarabdham. It has to go through. And I'm just waiting for him to finish it. And then he can go back to the spiritual world. So in this way, so many experiences for so many devotees in different times in the history. In every big, big temples you will see, associated with the temples, there will be devotees. And associated with the devotees, there will be so many different experiences like this. So that is what he is saying. That those who devotees who have taken Krishna consciousness seriously, very seriously, for them that these issues are does not exist, in the sense that many devotees who have served Krishna and they had problems, just by taking to Krishna service doesn't that our material problems will go away. It will never go away. Because we don't know what all we have done in our past. It can come back. So, just because we become a devotee doesn't mean that all our problems will go. Problems will never go. When problems are coming, we have to think that something we have done somewhere wrong in previous lifetimes. And it is coming back in some form. It may come back, whether it is illness or whether it is something else, whatever it may be. So, here, in one instance, there were one devotee, there are many stories, we can talk about so many stories, but one devotee, he became very sick. He became very sick. He stayed at the temple for a long time And then he thought that I could rather go home and live at home in the village, wherever he came from. And then he had his wife and children, everybody. And he decided to do a small business there and continue with it. Somehow or the other, it didn't work out the way he wanted it. So what he decided, he was staying originally in the temple for a long period of time to serve Krishna there. And he was busy in his spiritual practices at the temple. He stopped all that after going to the village because he got absorbed in his material life. But Krishna was not happy with that he left and gone in that way. So he decided to bring him back from there. What did he do? Krishna, he gets sick. He gets so sick. So once you get very sick, what will happen first? All the family members will say goodbye. They'll go. Nobody will be there. One day they may bring you a card or flowers and say to you one or two nice words. After that, you can't blame them. They are also helpless about it. They will also leave, isn't it? So little by little, they also say, look, we have got our life to live. I can't spend the whole life looking after you. So everything Krishna forces upon a devotee sometimes, it was forced upon him that he realized that I shouldn't have stopped my life at the temple, what I had. So he comes back to the temple again, eventually. So now he's alone. Nobody there to help him. It has happened to so many people in the history. So one instance, he could not move anywhere. He was brought back to the temple and they left him and they have gone. They finished their part. So, in one instance, then he was walking around outside the temple. While walking outside the temple, he is having aches and pains all over the body. He is struggling heavily with that. And some part of the body is swollen, a lot swollen. So, after the midday when prasadam was distributed, he had prasadam there. And then he goes to wash the hands in the tank. When he got there, there was one little bull standing there. There was a cow in that temple called Radha. Radha was her name. This cow had a calf, which was a bull. And the bull's nature, you know what it is like. Always playful and want to jump around and show its power. So this bull comes and hits this man with its horns. A little young bull it is, so full of energy, full of strength. Hits him and he fell. He fell and the bull ran away from that. Some people who have seen this, they took him and brought him to some safe place where he could lie somewhere else in a better place. So what he realized that was, after the bull has hit him, his pain was gone. The whole pain what he had before has gone. So this is the reason when we deal with Krishna, you can't think what will happen under any circumstances. Different devotees, Krishna has different ways of solving the problems. What Krishna decides inside, everything is executed in a way you will never be able to understand. What is the principle behind it? You may think, why Krishna has put him into that situation? Krishna had a higher plan that he should get cured from his illness. And for that, the bull was there, bull did what he had to do, and the devotee was cured from his illness. That is why, Vijitra Rupam Tavakhalya Anugraha. Vijitra Rupam. Vijitra Rupam means, how it will happen, there is no explanation to that. In the Bhagavadam, and in many other this literature, you will see this. Vijitra Rupam Tavakhalya Anugraham. Krishna's Anugraham or blessing is Vijitram. You cannot logicize it or explain it to anybody why it has happened in that way. So, and in one instance, that two, this we are talking about 100, 200 years back, that India had a lot of small kingdoms. Kings were ruling at that time. So the two kings were fighting each other for the domain, for the authority. So they used to spy on each other. The kings had their, they also had their MI5 those days. In their own way they operated. So it was quite usual that the every king had their own army, and the army will have some selected people who were deliberately spying on the other kings who had bad intentions towards them. Because these relationships were never very friendly between the kings. There was a lot of problems always. So in one instance, one king, his army chief, he wanted to find out the intentions of the other king. So what he does, he dressed up in incognito, goes to the other kingdom. But he was caught. They found out who he is. Because the transport facilities were not so good like today. It was done in a very localized level, isn't it? So he goes there. So their soldiers, the other king, their soldiers found out who he is and brought him in front of their king. So when he walked in, the king was naturally respectful to him because he is the commander of the army of the other king, isn't it? So you have to offer that respect to him because of his position. And looking at him and seeing his courage, this king was impressed by him, by his fearlessness in him. He was not upset. He said, I've been caught, so what? Because that Kshatriya's nature in them, that even if death comes, is ready to face it. Not like the soldiers today, they get frightened to go to the battlefield. After all 10 years training you sent them there, they're crying, why are we sent there? If that is a Kshatriya, it is useless, isn't it? So that was not the Kshatriya nature. These people are like that. That they're ready to be ready to die any moment. That strength in them, that has come from that background, isn't it? Varnashrama dharmam is that. So, so seeing his courage, and fearlessly he was answering whatever he asked him, the questions, the king said, bring a bracelet to wear for him, as an honor to him, and give it to him, he said. So, their ministers brought a bracelet, just as a mark of respect, and gave it to him. He took it and put it on his left hand. And then king thought that it's not good enough one on the left hand. One should be on the right hand as well. So he brings tells him to bring another one. Again he puts it on the left hand. So the king says to him, why have you put it on the left hand? I would have liked you to put it on the right hand in both the hands. His answer was, the right hand is meant for my boss, my king, whom I am serving. And I'll be loyal to him all my life. There will be no question of any concession on that. And saying this, this king, when he heard that, he pulled out his sword. As soon as he pulled out the sword, our commander who has been come, he pulled out his sword and killed that king straight away. Cut his head and straight away. So this way, the reaction between them was such. Now, this commander, he was a devotee. So you may think, how could a devotee be like that? Devotee does not mean that he is timid or he is any way, but he is always fearless. That when Krishna behind it, he had the strength to do what he wanted to do, what he felt it was right. So before he could say anything, he finished the other king and he couldn't say anything anymore further. Apparently what happened was, after this incident, the ministers were impressed by that courage in him, they set him free to go back. And they installed their own king later. So, Krishna's prasadam, you will never be able to understand in any situations. Very difficult to analyze it and see why it happened this way, why it happened that way. So, that is the important message here. But prasadam will come, but you will have to wait. It could be a long time, long wait. So, with that, the 8th canto finishes. And one more important thing. In that Malsyam incarnation, what is the significance of this? It is in this chapter Guru Tattvam is spoken. You can notice that. If you look at the words 46 in the 24th chapter, what is Guru principle? What does Guru mean? If you understand these verses from 46 to 53, read through it when you have time. It will give you an understanding what spiritual master means. Spiritual master is nobody else than Krishna. You can't appoint a spiritual, that is why we say you can't appoint a person as a spiritual master. Unless Krishna comes down as a spiritual master, you are not a spiritual master. This appointment business is all modern things. It doesn't work. It has no meaning either. Anadya vidya alpa hadasva vidam. Anadya vidyo bahada alpa samvidam. Tanmula samsara parishramatura. Yadurchaye hovasadayam apnuyu. Vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan. Gurur bhavan saying to fish, you are the guru. Jano bhudoyam nijakarma bandhanam. Sukhechaya karma samihade sukham. Yel sevayam tam vidhinu tyasan madhim. Grandhim sadivya bindhyantradayam sano guru. Yel sevayagneri varudra rodhanam. Puman vijahyan mala atmanastama. Bhajeda varnam nijamesha sovyayo. Bhuyal sa isha paramo gurur guru. Mayal prasada ayuda bhagalesham. Anyeja devo guravo jana swayam. Kartam sameda prabhavandipum sam. Tam ishwaram tuam sharanam prabhadye. Achakshurandhasya yada grani krida. Stadha janasya vidisho bhudo guru. Tom arkadruk sarvadrisham samikshano. Brudo gurur nasugadim bhubul satam. Jano janasya dishade sadimadim. Yaya prabhadye dudurateyam tama. Tom tom vyayam yanamamo khamanjasa. Prabhadyade yena jana nijam padam. Tvam sarvalokasya sukhril priyeshwaro alma guru jnanam abhishta siddhi tathabi logo na bhavandam andhadir janadi santam kriti baddhagama. Tvam tvam aham devavaram varenyam prabhadyam isham pradibodhanaya chindyartha dibeir bhagavan vajobir grandhin kriyon vivrunusamokaha. These verses are all about the guru. Who is a guru? What is guru's role? And how that relationship between the guru and the disciple has to grow. So, practically, the king is saying, Satyavrata is saying here, that ajnanam or avidya is in us from a very, very long time. Not in this lifetime. Several lifetimes, this avidya is in us. That's what he's saying here. Analpa vidyoba alpa vidyoba hal alpa samvidam. That analpa vidya. Analpa vidya alpahadova samvidam tanmula samsara parishamadura. Why do we get absorbed in this world so much? What is the reason? Samsara parishamadura. We keep on struggling in this world because of avidya. Avidya inside us. And that avidya did not start today. It has been there for several lifetimes in us. It is piled up inside. That avidya. That's what he's saying there. Anadya vidya vidyobahada alpa samvidam. Tanmulam, because of that, samsara parishamaduram. Samsara parishamam. The struggle for existence. Because of the anadya avidya. Anadi it is. Anadi means beginningless. That means we don't know when this started, this avidya inside us. But it is only when we go through several lifetimes in this way, through avidya and this struggle for existence. In several lifetimes we pass through in this way. At some point in time, by chance, by Krishna's arrangement, Yadurchayehova Sadayam Apnuyo. At that time when Krishna's arrangement, Krishna may make an arrangement to send somebody to you. Vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan. And that is the spiritual master. Somebody comes in life to pick you up from this state of material life. Vimukti dona paramo guru. Therefore, actually, guru is Krishna. Paramo guru bhavan says, Satyavrata says, paramo guru bhavan. There is nobody else except you. You are the guru. And it is Krishna who comes and or makes an arrangement for us when we are rotting here in this world several lifetimes. At some point in time, when Krishna feels some mercy or compassion to us, either he comes on his own or the Antaryami inside comes in some other form and gives us the message of the self, knowledge of the self. Otherwise, what opportunity we have got? That's what King is saying there. You can see that in the world. How many people think about the soul? Everybody is thinking about the body, isn't it? Majority, 99% is busy with the body. So, to get that understanding of the soul, it happens in a very rare situation. And then, many other verses which we will discuss another time, because this is a topic of its own. This Matsyavataram and the discussion there. So, at the end, the last verse, he said, Pralayapayasidhadu Supta Shakter Mukhebhyam Shudiganam Abhanidam Pratya. Last verse. Pratyabadatvahatvam Didijama Kathayodhyo Brahma Satya Vradhanam Tamahamahilahedam Jinmameenam Natosmi. This is the second time in the Srimad Bhagavadam Sri Shuka Brahmashi paying his obeisances. That's what that word. Jinmameenam Natosmi. You can see the last word. And Srimad Bhagavate, Mahapurane, Paramahamsayam, Samhitayam, Ashtamaskande, Malsyavadara Charitam, Anuvarnanam, Nama, Chaturvimshati Tamodhyaya. With that, it's the eighth canto finishes. Eighth canto finishes there. Sridharacharya Swamiji says that this pralayam, devastation, and the pralayam Markandeya has experienced, they are not actual devastations. This is Sridharacharya's opinion. There are also differences of opinion among them, among the commentators also. So, his opinion is that it was an experience for them, but actual devastation didn't happen. But experience can happen, isn't it? So, that is why that we'll go into the ninth canto now. Sridhara Swami's verses first. Gunayam gunadavaptai vrunade karunanidhim tamaham sharanam yami paramanandamathavam. All transcendental qualities is present in whom? Referring to Krishna. That and everybody, all qualities takes who shelter. And although, and the Supreme Personality, I take his tamaham sharanam yami paramananda madhavam. I take his complete shelter. Triguna ashtabir adhyaye sar vaivasada sudanvaya navame krishna sal bhakti prasangaya nirupyade. You know that Sridhara Swami gives you a brief of what is going to be discussed in this whole canto and each chapter. So these verses are related to that. He's saying there that in the ninth canto, 24 chapters talks about Surya Vamsham and Soma Vamsham, Solar Dynasty and the Lunar Dynasty, in order that Navame Krishna Sal Bhakti Prasangaya Nirupyade, that appearance of Krishna, to talk about the appearance of Krishna, it is for that in the 10th canto, for that purpose in the 9th canto, in 24 chapters, 13 chapters for Solar Dynasty and 11 chapters for Lunar Dynasty. Surya Vamsham and Chandra Vamsham is spoken in the 9th canto to explain the appearance of Krishna in the 10th canto. Eva mukto ashtama skandhe sad dharma sattva shodhaka kartru bala vaktadin aswa manyuadinam nirubane. In the 8th canto, what we have seen, he is saying that executing dharma in such a way that how one can purify oneself. One can purify oneself. And the history of the Manus, different Manus. That's what we have seen. The different Manus stories, the Manundarayana Katha. That is the 8th canto. By evaluating the different Manus, how Manus following the instructions of Krishna, Krishna's instructions properly, how it helped the people to realize the truth. That story is what was spoken in the 8th canto. Sridhara Swami says this, which we have seen, like Mahabali and others, they followed the injunctions very carefully. Although they were demons, asuras, but following the instructions, how they followed them. And also in the 8th canto, you saw in the beginning of the Indradyumna's story as Gajendra's story. And all these things, what's explaining there is different Manundaradipati's time. Manundaradipati means those who are the authority for that particular Manu's time. Saddharma Shuddha Sattvanam Andareyangesha Salkada Surya Somanvayakhyane Adhuna Sangatochyate. By performing Saddharma, Saddharma means executing Dharma properly in the religious way, in a spiritual way, or executing spiritual life, those who are purified in that way, and their stories is what is spoken in this 9th canto. Now, why it is so? This 9th canto, when you go through, it is like a train. This king, his son. This king, his son. This king, this son. Like this, you will see a number of kings, dynasties, and the kings' names mentioned. And their children who took up from him, and then their sons, their sons, their sons. Like that it goes, right? So you may ask a question, why all these things for Parikshit, who is leaving his body now? It's already end of 9th canto, it's coming now. It's only 9, 10, 11, 12, isn't it? So the answer to that is, Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to tell Parikshit that it's not you, the first king, who had thought the way you are thinking. You are not the first person. In the history throughout before, we are talking about history going back to millions of years before, there were great, great personalities. All those kings who took Krishna's shelter in their life, that means they had one nature. By nature, Kshatriyas are all very enjoying spirit in them, isn't it? That's why they had many wives and many palaces and opulent life, everything opulent for them. But what is the beauty here is, these kings, they enjoyed their life very much, but they had one great quality. What was that? When they knew the time has come to go, they were able to throw away everything, go into the forest, execute spiritual life, and go back to spiritual world. That capacity in them. To tell us that a ruler is meant to be like this. That when they are ruling, they should rule properly. And they should live their life. Because as the kings, they had various reasons to be like that. But when the right time came, they were willing to throw away everything and walk away from the whole scene. That strengthened them. And only those kings who have done that, their story is only spoken in the Bhagavatam. Only their story is spoken. That's why you will see when you are going through the list, some of them are spoken important, some of them are ignored. Some of them are ignored. That's the reason for that. So, and to show to us that the Trayodamshabir Adhyaye Surya Vamshonu Varnyate Egadashabir Adhyaye Samamshas Tadopare. First 13 chapters is about Surya Vamsham and another 11 chapters is about Soma Vamsham, Solar Dynasty and Lunar Dynasty. In there, Tatradu Pradame Adhyaye Vaivasvara Sudanvaye Soma Vamsha Praveshokte Sudyumna Sthritam Uchyate. That in the first chapter itself, Manu's son, Sudyumna, and this Sudyumna's life was real miserable. Unfortunate it was, what happened to him. But he has to say all that because it is them from this Sudyumna that later on Somavamsham comes. Somavamsham comes from that, isn't it? We'll root through that and then we'll discuss that chapter. Shri Rajovacham മന്വന്തരാണി സർവാണി ത്വയോക്താനി ശ്രുതാനി മേ വീര്യാണ്യനന്ദ വീര്യസ്യ ഹരേ സ്തത്ര കൃതാനി ച യോസൌ സത്യവ്രതോ നാമ രാജർഷിർദ്രവിഡേശ്വര ജ്ഞാനം യോദിതകൽപാന്തേ ലേഭേ പുരുഷസേവയാ സവൈ വിവസ്വത പുത്രോ മനുരാസീതി ശ്രുതം ത്വത്തസ്ഥസ്യ സുതാശ്ചോക്ത ഇക്ഷ്വാകൂ പ്രമുഖാ നൃപാഃ തേഷാ വംശം പൃഥബ്രഹ്മൻ വംശാനുചരിതാനി ച കീർത്തയസ്വ മഹാഭാഗ നിത്യം ശുശ്രൂഷതാം ഹിന യേ ഭൂതാ യേ ഭവിഷ്യാശ്ച ഭവന്ത്യദ്യതനാശ്ച യേ തേഷാം ന പുണ്യകീർത്തീനാം സർവേഷാം വദ വിക്രമാൻ ശ്രീസൂത ഉവാച ഏവം പരീക്ഷിതാ രാജ്ഞ സദസി ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം പൃഷ്ഠ പ്രോവാച ഭഗവാൻ ശുക പരമധർമ്മവിൽ ശ്രീശുക ഉവാച ശൂയതാം മാനവോ വംശ പ്രാചുര്യേണ പരം തവ ന ശക്യതേ വിസ്തരതോ വക്തും വർഷശതൈരപി പരാവരേഷാം ഭൂതാനാം ആത്മായ പുരുഷപര സ ഏവാസീതിദം വിശ്വം കൽപാന്തേ അന്യന്ന കിഞ്ചന തസ്യ നാഭേ സമഭവൽ പത്മകോശോ ഹിരൺമയ തസ്യ ജജ്ഞേ മഹാരാജ സ്വയംഭൂ ചതുരാനന മരീചർമനസസ്തസ്യ ജജ്ഞേ തസ്യാപി കശ്യപ ദാക്ഷായണ്യാം തദോദിത്യാം വിവസ്വാനഭവൽ സുതാഃ തദോ മനുശ്രാദ്ധദേവ സംജ്ഞായാമാസ ഭാരത ശ്രദ്ധായാം ജനയാമാസ ദശപുത്രാൻ സ ആത്മവാൻ ഇക്ഷ്വാകോ നൃഗശര്യാദി ദൃഷ്ടകരൂഷകാൻ നരിഷ്യന്തം പൃഷദ്രം ച നഭഗം ച കവിം വിദു അപ്രജസ്യ മനോപൂർവം വസിഷ്ഠോ ഭഗവാൻ ഖില മിത്രാവരുണയോരിഷ്ടിം പ്രജാർത്ഥമകരോൽ പ്രഭൂ തത്ര ശ്രദ്ധാ മനോപത്നി ഹോതാരം സമയാചത ദുഹിത്രാർത്ഥമുഭാഗമ്യം പ്രണിപത്യ പയോവ്രതാഃ പ്രഷിദോധുരിന്യാഹോദ ധ്യായം സ്ഥൽ സുസമാഹിത ഹവിഷീ വ്യചരൽ തേന വഷൽക്കാരം ഗുണഗൃണന്ദ്വിജ ഓതുസ്തദ്വ്യഭിചാരേണ കന്യേളാ നാമ സാഭവൽ താം വിലോക്യമനുപ്രാഹ നാദി കൃഷ്ണമനാ ഗുരും ഭഗവൻ കിമിതം ജാതം കർമ്മവോ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനം വിപര്യമഹോ കഷ്ടം ഏവം സ്യാൽ ബ്രഹ്മവിക്രിയാഃ യൂയം മന്ത്രവിദോ യുക്ത തപസാദഗ്ധഗിൽഭിഷ കുദാ സങ്കല്പവൈഷമ്യം അനൃതം വിഭുദേ ശിവ തന്നിഷമ്യവജസ്തസ്യ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രപിതാമഹ ഹോതുർവ്യതിക്രമം ജ്ഞാത്വാ ബഭാഷേ രവിനന്ദനം ഏതൽ സങ്കല്പവൈഷമ്യം ഹോതുസ്തേ വ്യഭിചാരത തഥാപി സാധയിഷ്യേതേ സുപ്രജാസ്ത്വം സ്വതേജസ ഏവം വ്യവസിതോ രാജൻ ഭഗവാൻ സമഹായശ അസ്തൌഷീദാദിപുരുഷ ഇളായാം പുംസ്ത്വകാമ്യയാം തസ്ത്വൈ കാമവരം തുഷ്ടോ ഭഗവാൻ ഹരിരീശ്വര ദദാവിളാഭവൽ തേന സുദ്യുമ്ന പുരുഷർഷഭാം സ ഏകദാ മഹാരാജാം വിഭചരൻ മൃഗയാം വനേ ബൃതകതിപയാമാധ്യൈ അശ്വമാരുഹ്യ സൈന്ധവം പ്രഗൃഹ്യ രുചിരം ചാപം ശരാംശ്ച പരമാത്ഭുതാൻ ദംശീതോ നൃഗം വിരോ ജഗാമദിശമുത്തരം സകുമാരോ വനം മേരോ അധസ്ഥാൽ പ്രവിവേശ യത്രാസ്തേ ഭഗവാൻ ശർവോ രമമാണ സഹോമയാം തസ്മിൻ പ്രവിഷ്ടമേ വാസോ സുദ്ധിമ്യ പരവീര അപശ്യൽ ശ്രിയമാത്മാനം അശ്വം ച വടവാം നൃപ തഥാ തദനുഗാ സർവേ ആത്മലിംഗ വിപര്യയം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ വിമനസോ ഭൂവൻ വീക്ഷമാണ പരസ്പരം ശ്രീരാജോവാച കഥാമേവം ഗുണോദേശ കേന വാ ഭഗവൻ കൃത പ്രശ്നമേനം സമാചക്ഷ്വാ പരം കൗതൂഹലം ഹിനാ ശ്രീ ശുകവാച ഏകദാ ഗിരിശം ദ്രഷ്ടു ഋഷയസ്തത്ര സൗവ്രത ദിശോ വിധിമിരാഭാസ കുർവന്തം സമുപാഗമൻ താൻ വിലോക്യാംബികയോ ദേവി അംബികാദേവി വിവാസാപ്രീരിതോ വൃഷം ഭർത്തുരംഗാൽ സമുത്ഥായ ദിവീം നീവീമാശ്വതപദ്യതാൽ ഋഷയോ ഭീതയോർവീക്ഷ്യ പ്രസംഗം രമമാണയോ നിവൃത്താ പ്രയുസ്തസ്മാ നരനാരായണാശ്രമം തദിദം ഭഗവാനഃ പ്രിയായ പ്രിയകാമ്യയ സ്ഥാനം യ പ്രവിശേദേതൽ സവൈ യോഷിൽ ഭവേദിതി തദൂർധ്വം വനം തദ്വൈ പുരുഷാവർജയന്തി സ ചാനുജര സംയുക്ത വിചചാരവനാധ്വനം അതതാമാശ്രമാഭ്യാശെ ചരന്തി പ്രമദോത്തമം സ്ത്രീഭീ പരിവൃതം വീക്ഷ ചകമേ ഭഗവാൻ ഭുത സാപിതം ചകമേ സുഭ്രു സോമരാജസുതം പതിം സദസ്യം ജനയാമാസ പുരൂരവസമാത്മജം ഏവം സ്ത്രീത്വമനുപ്രാപ്തം സുദ്ധിംനോ മാനവോ നൃപ സസ്മാര സ്വകുലാചാര്യം വസിഷ്ഠം ഇതി ശുശ്രുമാ സതസ്യതാം ദശാം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ കൃപയാ വൃഷപീഡിത സുദ്ധിംനസ്യാശയൻ പുംസ്ത്വം ഉപാധാവദശങ്കരം തുഷ്ടസ്തസ്മൈ സ ഭഗവാൻ ഋഷയേ പ്രിയമാവഹൻ സാംചവാചമൃതാം കുറുവൻ ഇദമാഹവിശാം പതേ മാസം പുമാൻ സഭവിത മാസം സ്ത്രീ തവ ഗോത്രജ ഇത്ഥം വ്യവസ്ഥയാ കാമം സുദ്ധിംനോദുമേദിനീം ആചാര്യനുഗ്രഹാൽ കാമം ലബ്ധ്വാ പുംസ്ത്വാം വ്യവസ്ഥയാ പാലയാമാസ ജഗതീം നാഭ്യനന്ദൻ സ്മതം പ്രജാഃ തസ്യോൽക്കലോകയോ രാജൻ വിമലശ്ച സുതാശ്രയ ദക്ഷിണാപദരാജാനോ ബഭൂവുർധർമ്മവത്സല തദപരിണതേ കാലേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠാനപതി പ്രഭു പുരുരവസമുത്സൃജ്യ ഗാം പുത്രായ ഗതോ വനം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ ഇളോപാഖ്യാനേ പ്രഥമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ഇൻ ദി എയ്ത്ത് കാൻറ്റോ we have just briefly seen the appearance of Malsimurti, like Vamanavadaram, another important incarnations. So due to this Malsimurti's mercy or by blessings, Satyavrata became Shraddhadeva or what is called as Vaivasudamanu. He was born as Vaivasudamanu. So this Manu's lineage is what is being spoken in the ninth canto. From now on, that's what is going to be spoken. This Manu's lineage. Which one? Vaivasuda Manu. Who is Krishna addressing that as the Vivaswan in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Imam Vivaswade Yoga. That Vivaswan's lineage is what's going to be spoken here. So, Surya Vamsham, Soma Vamsham. Solar dynasty and lunar dynasty, two dynasties. First discussion is about Surya Vamsham, solar dynasty, and afterwards Soma Vamsham. And in that Surya Vamsham, a full incarnation, Purna Avataram, that is Sri Ramachandra, Rama Avataram. And similarly, in Soma Vamsham also, a Purna Avataram is Krishna Avataram. These two Avataram is special. One in solar dynasty, another one in the lunar dynasty. രാമാവതാരം ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണാവതാരം ദേ ആർ സ്പെഷ്യൽ ബിക്കോസ് ദേ ആർ പൂർണ്ണാവതാരം പൂർണ്ണാവതാരം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് സോ ഇൻ വൺ സെൻസ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ടു ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് അവതാരംസ് രാമാവതാരം ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണാവതാരം യു ക്യാൻ ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് നയൻത് കാൻറ്റോ ആൻഡ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇൻ വൺ വേ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ബോത്ത് ദീസ് ടു ഡൈനാസ്റ്റീസ് കം ഫ്രം ദ സെയിം സോഴ്സ് Vaivasuda Manu. It comes from the same source. And that is started from same place. And so, first chapter, what we have just read through, it says, Vaivasuda Manu didn't have any children first. He didn't have any children. So, he called Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha Maharshi is there, like Shukracharya for the Mahabali. Vasishtha Maharshi was their priest. Said, he told Vasishtha Maharshi that you have to perform a sacrifice to have children. We don't have children. So, in that sacrifice, some sacrifice was performed. And from that, a girl was born. A girl was born. But Manu, Vaivasuda Manu's mind was thinking that if I have a son, he will take control of the administration later. That was the plan in Vaivasuda Manu's heart. But unfortunately a girl was born who obviously cannot take control of the administration. So he didn't say anything to Vasishtha why this has happened. After that they have different purificatory ceremonies when the child is born, like annaprashanam, namakaranam, and all these things. So that means a few days have gone, few weeks or months have gone before this ceremony happens, annaprashanam, namakaranam, and all the other ceremonies happens. So one day, immediately he didn't say anything to Vasishtha, but in the assembly of other people, this Shraddha or Vaivasva Manu told Vasishtha, why did we have a girl was born? Why was a girl born? Actually, we performed these sacrifices to have a boy, but I couldn't understand it, why it has happened in this way. Because Vaivasva Manu was thinking, who is going to rule the planet if my absence... That was his main concern, going to do that. He put it in this way, that has the rishis lost their power in chanting the hymns, Vedic hymns? Because rishis were so powerful that if they have chanted something properly, the result must come. That was the way they are, isn't it? So what in our Shraddhadeva is asking, Vaivasva Manu is asking, has the rishis lost their power of mantra, of chanting mantra? He says here, I wanted a boy to be born. Why did this happen? And that's what I have said, why a girl was born. So, when he said that, Vasishtha got a bit upset. Naturally, he got upset because he didn't understand the internal politics in the palace. The politics is everywhere. Even between husband and wife, there is politics in this world. there's no question about that. See, we are thinking all these relationships are very holy. But they are not. For survival's sake, we have to deal in a diplomatic way in life, isn't it? For whatever reason it may be. So the same politics happens there also, in Shraddhadeva's case also. He's the number one, first one. So if it is there, is there any wonder it's happening now? So it was not at all surprising. So he says to him that Vasishtha got a little bit upset when he said that. He said, when I did the sacrifice, the intention was to have a girl. I didn't do it for the sake of a boy. Vaivasva Manu, he didn't tell him, he only said to Vasishtha, I wanted to have children. But in his mind he was thinking, I will have a boy. But the queen got involved in this. The queen got involved in this. So she says to him, Vasishtha says, your wife told me that she wants a girl. This is the whole thing, misfired, everything. So imagine the situation, what's going on there, isn't it? So I thought that if I do what she wants me to do, it will please you as well. This is why Vasishtha puts it into him. So like every man's problems in this world. So that is the reason, he says, that is the reason it has come as a girl, because I have performed the sacrifice to have a girl, he said. That if you still have a doubt about my mantras, what I have chanted, and the karma or sacrifice I have done, whether it has got the potency or not, I can show it to you. I can change that girl to a boy, he said. Vasishtha says this to the king, to Vaivasva Manu. So when he said that, king says, is that possible? The king says, by now, at least it's 3 months' time. It's the time for feeding the rice. That means 3 months' time is already gone by now. It's one thing changing the sex straight away after birth. But now it is 3 months have gone. This body has grown as a male body. And now she is asking, is it possible to change that? So, and they have given the name also to this girl as Ila. Ila was the name given to her. So Vasishtha Maharshi takes this child, puts her on the lap, and she say, we will change the name. We'll change the name. So Ila changed, and the Ila itself became a male form, a name Ilan was given to him. The name was changed as Ilan. So look at that person's misfortune after all what happened after this. He grew up as a boy. He changed his sex. Became a boy now. And he goes for hunting. When he was 16 years old, he goes to the forest to hunt. because they are Kshatriyas, isn't it? They have to do that. So, suddenly he realized while hunting, he looked at his own body and he has become a female again. He has become a female again. That means Ilan has become Ila again. So, when he looked around, everybody who had come with him has also become female, including the horses. Not only all the other soldiers who had gone with him, the horses also have all become female. And the reason was that place is Ilavrata Varsham. Ilavratam is where Lord Shiva stays with Sri Parvati there. And Shiva has given this blessing to Sri Parvati that anybody who comes to this area, they'll become female straight away. So, because of that blessing given to Sri Parvati, which Ila didn't know anything about it, and he became a female again, that means Ila became a female again. So, including the horses, everybody. Nobody knew about this, that such a benediction was given to Sri Parvati. So, he has become like that. What to do now? And it was at that time, by chance, moon god, his son, Buddha was passing through that way. Buddha saw this Ila. Ila is very beautiful, very, very beautiful. Buddha wanted to love her, had a relationship between Buddha and Ila. Buddha's birth itself is quite controversial, isn't it? You know, if you remember Bhagavatam stories, that Buddha did not have a very intelligent person. Buddha is considered to be topmost intelligent. That's why the word Buddhi comes from Buddha. Buddhi comes from Buddha. So this Buddha is the personality who fell in love with this Ila, and they had a relationship and a son was born from them. That is our Pururavas, who comes much later. In the Bhagavatam we studied about his Ailagida. Ailan is Pururavas and this Ailagida is from him. So they had what they call as the Gandharva Vivaham, like the Gandharva's way of marrying. They married each other. And after that the child was born, marriage was done, child was born, and they are all demigods, isn't it? Buddha and moon and all, they are demigods. They have got certain powers in them. What can you do? And they remembered about Manu. This all happened in the Ilavrata Varsham. All this has happened. So Manu came. Vayusudha Manu came. Vasishtha also came with him. Together they came there. And all of them together, Vasishtha knew that this place is out of bounds for them. And they knew why it has happened. So Vasishtha says to Manu, "Don't worry, we will go to Lord Shiva and talk to him and see if we can do anything about it, make any changes in the rule, in the law." So all of them together goes to Shiva. So Vasishtha says to Shiva, "This was a girl before, but I made him a boy. Now he has become a girl again," he said. "And if he stays as a girl like this now, it will look awkward, because what is my position then? I changed him into a boy and he has become a girl again. And also we don't have anybody to rule the kingdom, to the planet." Shiva says, because Vasishtha has asked for something, I have to agree, because Vasishtha is in the disciple succession. He is also comes. Vasishtha, Parashara, Shakti, Vedavyas. In that way, the Vasishtha has a role there, a big role as a spiritual teacher of the Vedic philosophy. And therefore, Shiva has a lot of consideration for Vasishtha in everything. So when he said that, I have to agree. But at the same time, I have given this boon to Sri Parvati. She will get upset if I change it. I have to satisfy Vasishtha also. So what he said was that I'll take into account both the two parties involved, Sri Parvati and Vasishtha. Lord Shiva decided, "I can only do one thing," he said. "What I can do today in this situation is that if he agrees, who this Ila, if she agrees, that he can, she can be 1 month male and 1 month female. We can make an arrangement like that. 1 month he's male and 1 month he's female. So, otherwise I can give you another option, he said. He can be 1 day male, the next day female. In that way, two options he gave. Shiva gave them two options. 1 month and 1 month. Or 1 day and another next day. Male and female, in that way. Or, I can also give another option. He can be a female in the day and the male in the night time. We can make him that as well, he said. Whichever you want, you can choose, he said. Best options, isn't it? Best three options. Either day and night, or 1 day male and 1 day female, or 1 month male and 1 month female. I have no objection to any of these things, he said. So, whether he is agreeable or not, that's up to him. Shiva put it like that. He thought, our Ila thought, how about half male and half female? Why not that? Another option. So many options. So, nobody else had that before. So, Ilan was thinking like that. But he has heard this, female becoming male, male becoming female, but never heard this half male, half female, in that way. So, anyway, he said, he agreed for this, and it was agreed that, that particular month, that he will remain as a woman. On the 31st night, he will turn into male form. He will turn into male form. So, in the morning of the 1st of the month, when he wakes up, he is a male. 1st of the month. And then the whole month, he is a male. And then on the night of the 31st night, he will become a female again. He will become a female again. So, so when he is in the female form, in the female form, the husband will come, who? Buddha. Buddha will be there. And so, but when he is in the male form, who? Our Ila. 1 month he is in the male form, isn't it? He thought, when I am in the male form, I should have a wife as well. See how complex it is? Everything very complicated, isn't it? So he got married at that time. So what has happened now? 31st evening of every month, the husband has to go, and the first morning, the wife has to come in. Because that's how it is set up, isn't it? So, and he has got, in his wardrobe, he has got clothes of the male dresses and the female dresses, all, to wear at different months, what he has to wear. So, when all these things, what's happening, the royal family's activities, it spreads in the whole country, isn't it? Everybody talks about it. The royal family is very much scrutinized everywhere. So, people started talking, what kind of king we have got? This 1 month male, 1 month female. And he has got a wife when he is male, and he has got a husband when he is female. This is not good. This is not proper. People started talking like this. So it has become a joke among the public, the whole thing. And we saw him last month as a male traveling with his wife. Next month we are seeing him as a female traveling with her husband. So which one is correct? So what is, how sad it is, the situation. They start talking to each other. So, and they started ridiculing him. Are you not ashamed to live like this, as male and female? So what he did was, Sudhimna, who happened, that is his original name, he decided, I had enough of this life. He went to the forest, executed spiritual life, went back to the spiritual world. Didn't want to get involved in this world. Why did this happen? The reason is, prarabdham you can't get rid of. He had the prarabdham to suffer like this. Somewhere he has conducted life in such a way that the result of that has come in this form in his life. So, what is indicating to us is that he was born in a great family, isn't it? The royal family. And he had the greatest spiritual master, Vasishtha. And who had the capacity to turn him into male or female, all these things. And not only that, father is the first king in the solar dynasty, Vaivasvata Manu, in the Surya Vamsham, the first king. In spite of all these things, a good birth, a good lineage, a good teacher, spiritual master, in spite of all these things, Prarabdham will not let you go. Prarabdham will not let you go. Prarabdha karmam sakral, it says, that he is neither male nor female, and if it is either one of them, it was okay. But this changing situation all the time was not very good. So, practically trying to tell us that our prarabdham, each one of us, we have to carry it with us. Whichever way it comes, no matter who we are, if prarabdham comes and hits us, we have to accept it. That is the best thing to do. And but there's only one thing. If you have such heavy prarabdham, this is one heavy prarabdham this is. We all have different prarabdhams in different ways, isn't it? So when prarabdham is very heavy, if you are still holding on to Krishna's lotus feet, eventually you will come out of it successfully. Eventually you will come out of the problem. That is what this story is all talking about. That and Krishna gave him that mercy, that prarabdham one day finishes. Prarabdham has its power, but it finishes one day. But more powerful than prarabdham is Krishna consciousness, to show to us. That is what this story is all about. That in spite of the fact that he got birth in a very best family you could think of at that time, and as parents, if Vaivasvata Manu was the first Manu, and that is his son, seventh Manu in the Manu lineage, it is his son. Vasishtha is the spiritual master. In every way, things were very favorable. But unfortunately, he had to suffer like this. It's not very good, is it? That in spite of all the opportunity he had in life, in front of the public, he has become a laughingstock. And they didn't want him as the king. They rejected him. So he had to leave the kingdom. He has no place in the kingdom. Even though God birth in the family of a Vaivasvata Manu and Vasishtha as the spiritual master and all the good opportunities he had, but there is some prarabdham to suffer through, and that came in the form of this insult from the public. And with that he had enough. He said goodbye to the world, walked into the forest, executed spiritual life. Because he was strongly fixed in spiritual life, Krishna decided to look after him. Prarabdham, Krishna says, I won't put my hand into that. That you have to suffer. That's your karma has come back. Prarabdham, in the form of prarabdham. That you have to suffer through. But the story is trying to teach us that even if the prarabdham is heavy, because we all have different prarabdhams in different way, if you take to Krishna consciousness seriously, in spite of the prarabdham, if you hold on to Krishna, eventually, when the prarabdham goes, Krishna will take care of it, the situation. There is Krishna shelter. To prove that, this story in the ninth canto, this first story. Then after that, we will continue with the rest after break. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahada vagninurvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वात्मास्वनम् परम् विजयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् मगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निविदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारवीषु नीचेनाम् करोरवि सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कृतनीय सदा हरि नथनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद्भक्तिरहेतुगित्वयि अयि नन्ददनुजकिङ्गरं परदां मां विषमे भवाम्बुदौ त्वया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलिसदृशं चिन्तय नयनं जलदशुधारया अदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्नजिदं गदा वपुस्तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ. ആശ്രയ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ തുലം പടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാ പരാം. സോ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദി നയൻത് കാന്റോ വി സോ ദ സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് സുദ്യുമ്ന. And then from Sudyumna comes later Ila, and from Ila comes our Pururavas, whom we studied in the 11th canto earlier. You can see how powerful the impact is. Pururavas, if you remember when we talked about Pururavas' history, if you look back, because of this impurity in the birth, it affected him. A great personality, there is no question about his greatness. Great in the sense that Krishna takes him as a example while instructing Uddhava. So imagine how great he has to be. Pururava's position, Ailagidam is Pururavas, isn't it? Ailagidam, Ailan is Pururavas. But unfortunately, because of the impurity at the birth, it has affected his whole life in this world. When he got attracted to Urvashi, and due to that, later when he came to his senses, that's what this Ailagidam is about, isn't it? If you remember those verses what he spoke, that if you fall into that trap of attachment to anybody, if you go into Ailagidam, it is important to mention that here, because what you learn in either Ailagidam is an eye-opener to everybody. He's saying to us that... which should be the next one? Yes. Yeah. In his relationship with Urvashi, he's saying, I didn't even know that the sun was setting and rising. To that extent, that means the bodily identity has become so strong. That's why it is saying here that that in Ailagidam he mentions that it is the 26th chapter. Yeah. Yeah. Ahome Almasamoham, 9th verse. ഏനാത്മാ യോഷിതാം കൃത ക്രീഡാമുഖ ചക്രവർത്തി നരദേവ ശിഖാമണി നരദേവ ശിഖാമണി. ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദ 24th വേഴ്സ് 22, 23 and 24, കൃഷ്ണ ഹെൽഡ് ഓൺ ടു ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഫ്രം ഐലഗീത. ആൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദെയർ ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക്, it is based on those three verses. What did he say? He's saying, athabi noba sajjeda strishu straineshu cha arthavil vishadeen indriya samyogal manakshubhyadina anyadha. Mind will never get disturbed, manakshubhyadina anyadha, unless sense objects comes into contact with the mind. This is the important lesson to learn from that. What he's saying here, അഥാപി നോപസജ്ജേത സ്ത്രീഷു സ്ത്രൈനേഷു ചാർത്ഥവിത് വിഷയ ഇന്ദ്രിയ സംയോഗാൽ മനക്ഷുഭ്യതി നാന്യത. മൈൻഡ് ബൈ നേച്ചർ ഹാസ് ദിസ് പ്രോബ്ലം ദാറ്റ് ആസ് സൂൺ ആസ് ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ഇൻ ടു കോൺടാക്ട് വിത്ത് സെൻസ് ഓബ്ജെക്ട്സ് വിച്ച് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ത്രൂ ദ സെൻസസ്, വിഷയം ഇന്ദ്രിയം സംഭോഗം, വിഷയ ഇന്ദ്രിയ സംയോഗം, സംയോഗം മീൻസ് കോൺടാക്ടിങ്, കമ്മിങ് ഇൻ ടു കോൺടാക്ട് വിത്ത്. സോ വിഷയം മീൻസ് സെൻസ് ഓബ്ജെക്ട്സ്, ഇന്ദ്രിയം മീൻസ് സെൻസസ്. So, Vishaya Indriya Samyogal Manakshubhyadi. Mind will get definitely disturbed. Na anyatha, otherwise not. That is a statement there, important. Vishaya Indriya Samyogal Manakshubhyadi Na anyatha, otherwise it will not happen. Then he is saying, Adrishtar Ashrudad Bhavanam Bhavana Bhavam Ubajayade Asambrayunyada Pranan Shyamidhi Simidam Mana. Unless you get this mind in a peaceful state, it's not possible to progress in spiritual path. There is no question of progress. That's what he is saying here. Adrishtat, ashrudat, bhavan, na bhavam upajayate, asambrayinchada pranan, shamyati smitam mana, tasmal sango na kartavyam, strishu, strainishu che indriyai, vidusham chape vishrabdham, shadvarga kimumadrisham. All those verses. So, then Krishna is saying after, this is the song from Puriravas, Aila Gita. And Aila Gita starts from verse 7 to verse 24. And Krishna is talking based on that Krishna's instructions to us. He is saying to us, Evam pragayadan nirpadeva deva sa urvashi lokamatho vihaya atmanam atmanyavagamyamam vai umaramal jnana vidhuta mohaha. That Ajnanam inside was so deep in Puriravas that he didn't know that what was happening in his life. But when he had come to his senses, he says, Evam prakayam nirpadeva deva. Nirpadeva deva means he was the king of kings, you can say. He was such an emperor personality, great personality emperor. But due to this attachment with Urvashi, he is no more important. He felt that he had a great birth, Buddha's son. Imagine that. And Buddha was an intelligent person, isn't it? You remember Brihaspati and Moon, they were bargaining for this boy, for Buddha. Brihaspati was claiming that it's my son. Moon said that it is my son. Then Tara, the mother, finally declared it is Moon's son. So that's how Buddha became Moon's son. Because Buddha, what he did was, when they started arguing, Brihaspati and the moon started arguing about who's the father, Buddha got up and said to Tara, mother, why are you keeping quiet? Say what you want to say. Don't keep quiet, he said. So that intelligent he was, because mother is the right person to say who the father is, isn't it? So once Tara said that, then immediately, Brihaspati has to accept it. Brihaspati had no choice. And Brahma, who was trying to settle the dispute, told Moon that you can have the son. And Buddha was given as a son of Moon. And he was considered intelligent from the very beginning, an intelligent person. And that Buddha's son is this Puriravas. So what it is indicating to us, Krishna is saying to us, you may be highly intelligent, but spiritual advancement is not dependent on your intelligence. This is the important principle. Spiritual advancement is not dependent on the intelligence. Here, because of this special situation what Puriravas landed, because of his attachment to Urvashi, why did this happen like this? Urvashi was definitely the most beautiful person. Naranarayana Rishi created Urvashi from the Uru, from the Thai. That's how this Urvashi came. And even today in India, they give the best film actress award is Urvashi Award, it's called. So that's how Urvashi is rated so high, because of her beauty. So this Urvashi, he fell, Urvashi had a curse she was cursed to come and stay with us. Normally she wouldn't come, she belongs to that higher category of people. For them we are like worms. We look at the human body in that way. But to finish up the curse, she had to come here. And this was an opportunity when she saw Puriravas. Puriravas went to the heavenly planets. There she met Puriravas there. So seeing Puriravas, his courage and his personality, Urvashi was attracted towards him. So she had the curse to finish up. So she said, anyway, I'll go there and spend the time with Puriravas, finish up the curse, and then I'll come back to, because Urvashi is in the Brahmalokam. She stays with Lord Brahma. And in Brahma's planet, Brahma Sadasa, that means Brahma's assembly, she dances and sings there. So she is in a very highly, like a Hollywood actress or something, that position she has there. Anyway, when she came here, she put certain conditions to Puriravas, which we have discussed before. And Puriravas agreed for everything, because he just wanted to have Urvashi. That's all what he wanted. But unfortunately, when Urvashi left him, Puriravas was heartbroken. He didn't know what to do. He says he was wandering around without any direction, and he was feeling so bad about himself that I fall into the situation. My ancestors who had come, they have all lived a spiritual life, whereas I am like this, in this rotten situation. So, Ailagidam, if you read, you will understand about that. And Krishna is saying here, Atmanam Atmanyavagamyamam Vai Uparamil Jnana Vidhutamoha. Till that knowledge comes in about the soul, this attachment to the body, that is the difficulty with this attachment to the body. It drags us down to such levels that again to come back to spiritual consciousness is very, very difficult. Once you have got absorbed in the body, and if the body drags us down to attachment to another body in another form, then to gain back the spiritual strength back is very, very difficult. That's what he's warning there. So I was just mentioning that, these two verses, Tasmal Sango Na Kartavyam Strishu Straineshu Chendriye Vidusham Chapya Vishraddham Shadvarga Kimumadrisham. He says, women on their own are not the problem, but people who are talking about women, they are worse people. He said, separately, if you keep man and woman separately, they are both good. Both are good. Men are good, women are good. But when they come into contact, and then from that relationships, a lot of problems comes. Ailagidam is all about that. So anyway, we will discuss these two chapters now, and then we will go through the summary of that. So, Didiyadhyaya Didiyemane Putranam Dvava Putrao Virakhada Karushagadi Panjanam Vamshanaha Lukukramal. Among the sons of Manu, there were Kavi and Prashagna, two personalities. Both of them were very highly detached and renounced from this world. So they had no, these two sons didn't have any family members. From Karusha, five sons were spoken, and that is in the second chapter. So they didn't touch about Kavi and Prashagna. Shri Shuka Vacha, Evam Gadeda Sudhimne Manur Vaivasuda Sude Putragama Stavastebe Yamunayam Shadam Samaha Tadoya Janmanu Deo Apathyartam Harim Prabhum Ichuaga Purva Jan Putram Lebe Sasadrashandesha Prashadrastu Manovi Mutro Gopalo Gurunakrada Palaya Masaga Yaturatram Virasana Prada Egada Pravishad Goshtam Shardhulo Nishi Varshadi Shayanam Gava Mutai Bidasta Bebraburu Vrajay Egam Jagraha Balavan Sa Chukroshabaya Tura Tasya Sal Krandidam Shutva Prashadrobi Sasaraha Khalgamadaya Tarasa Prali Nodugane Nishi Ajanan Nahanat Babro Shira Shardhula Shangaya Vyakrobi Vrkna Shravano Nistrim Shagraha Dastada Nishchakrama Brisham Bhido Rektam Padisamil Srijan Manyamano Hadam Vyakram Prashadravara Viraha Adrakshil Suhadam Babram Vyushtayam Nishidukidaha Tam Shashava Gulajaria Kudaga Samagamada Nachatrabandu Shudrastam Karmana Pavidamuna Evam Shaptasturana Pratigrahanal Kuda Anjali Atharel Vardam Vira Udhuredo Munipriyam Vasudeve Bhagavadi Sarval Penibare Amele Ekanditum Gado Bhaktia Sarvabodha Sohural Samaha Vimukta Sangha Shandalma Samyadacho Abari Graha Yadrachayobavanena Kalpayan Murtim Alpana Alpanya Alpana Vadhaya Jnanatrupta Samahida Vijajara Mahimedam Jadanta Badira Kradi Evam Murtovanam Gitva Drushtva Davagni Muthidam Teno Bayukta Karano Brahma Prapa Paramuni Kavikani and Visheshonaspraho Visrajarajam Sahabendu Virvanam Niveshajite Purusham Sorojisham Vivesha Kaishoravaya Param Gadaha Karushan Manavadasan Karusha Chatra Yadeya Uttarapada Guptaro Brahmanya Dharma Valsala Drishtar Dashtava Bhul Shatram Brahmabhuya Gadao Mukshitao Nirgasivam Shasumadir Buddha Jyodhistato Vasu Vasu Padigastal Putra Okhavan Okhaval Pita Kanyacha Okhavadi Namam Sudarshana Uahadam Chitrasenom Narishyandam Dakshastasya Sudo Bhaval Tasya Midam Sudha Kurva Kurcha Indrasena Sudha Talsudha Vidhi Hotrasu Indrasena Tasya Sartashrava Mabhul Urishrava Sudha Stasya Devadatta Sudho Bhaval Tado Agni Veshu Bhagavan Agni Swayamabhul Sudha Kani Namidi Vikhyado ജാതുകർണിയോ മഹാന് ഋഷി തഥോ ബ്രഹ്മകുലം ജാതം അഗ്നി അവേശ്യായനം നൃഗ നരീഷ്യന്ദ്വാനയ പ്രോക്താദിഷ്ടവം ശമത ശൃണു നാഭാഗോ ദുഷ്ടപുത്രോന്യം കർമ്മണ വൈശദാം ഗത ഫലന്തന സുതസ്തസ്യ വത്സപ്രീതിർഫലന്തനാൽ വത്സപ്രീതേ സുതപ്രാംശു തത്സുതം പ്രമതിം വിദു ഖനിത്ര പ്രമതേ തസ്മ ചാക്ഷുഷോദ വിവിംശതി വിവിംശതി സുതോരംഭ ഖനിനേത്രോസ്യ ധാർമിക കരന്ധമോ മഹാരാജസ്തസ്യ സീതാത്മജോ നൃപ തസ്യാവീഷ്യൽ സുതോ യസ്യ മരുത്തശ്ചക്രവർത്യഭൂൽ സമർത്തോ യാജയ അദ്യം വൈ മഹായോഗ്യ അംഗിരസ്തുത മരുത്തസ്യ യഥായജ്ഞോ നതധാന്യസ്യ കശ്ചന സർവം ഹിരൺമയം ത്വാസീൽ യകിഞ്ചിൽ ചാസ്യ ശോഭനം അമാദ്യമിന്ദ്ര സോമേന ദക്ഷിണാഭിർദ്വിജാദയ മരുത പരിവേഷ്ടാരോ വിശ്വദേവോ സഭാസദ മരുത്തസ്യ നമ പുത്ര സസ്യാരാസീദ് രാജ്യവർദ്ധന സുദൃതി തത്സുജ്ഞേ സൗദൃദേയോ നരസുത തത്സുത കേവലസ്തസ്മാൽ ബന്ധുമാൻ വേഗവാം സ്ഥത ബന്ധുസ്തസ്യാഭവദ്യസ്യ തൃണഭീർദുർമഹീപതി തം ഭേജ അലംബുഷാദേവി ഭജനീയ ഗുണാലയം വരാപ്സര വരപ്സരാ യത പുത്ര കന്യാ ചേ ഇടവിടാഭവൽ തസ്യാം ഉൽപാദയാമാസ വിശ്രവാ ധനതം സുതം പ്രാധായ വിദ്യാം പരമം ഋഷി യോഗേശ്വര അൽപിതു വിശാല ശൂന്യബന്ധുശ്ച ധൂമ്രകേതുശ്ച തൽസുത വിശാലോ വംശകൃദ്രാജ വൈശാലീം നിർമ്മമേ പുരീം ഹേമചന്ദ്രസുതസ്തസ്യ ധൂമ്രാശ്രസ്തസ്യ ജാൽമജ തൽപുത്രാൽ സംയമാദാസീൽ കൃഷാശ്വ സഹദേവജ കൃഷാശ്വാൽ സോമദത്തബൂൽദ്യോശോ മേദൈരിടസ്പതിം ഇഷ്ട്വ പുരുഷമാവാഗ്രം ഗൈം യോഗേശ്വരാശ്രിത സോമദത്തിസ്തു സമതി തൽസുതോജനമേ ജയ ഏതേ വൈശാല ഭൂപാല തൃണബിന്ധോർ യശോധര ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം നവമസ്കന്ധേ ദ്വിതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ദെൻ ഇൻ ദി നെക്സ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ മനൂസ് സൺ ഷര്യാദി ആൻഡ് ഷര്യാദിസ് ഡൈനാസ്റ്റി ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ കംസ് ദ സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് സുകന്യ ആൻഡ് രേവതി ദേ ആർ അമേസിംഗ് സ്റ്റോറി. തൃതീയ മനുപുത്രസ്യ ഷര്യാദേ കീർത്തതേ അന്വയ യത്ര സൗകന്യമാഖ്യാനം രൈവതം ച മഹാത്ഭുതം. തൃതീയോധ്യായ ശ്രീശുകോവാച ശര്യാദിർമനോരാജ ബ്രഹ്മിഷ്ടസഭൂവഹ യോവോ അംഗിരസാം സത്രേ ദ്വിതീയമഹമൂജീവാൻ സുകന്യാനാമ തസ്യാസിൽ കന്യാ കമലലോചന തയാസാർദ്ധം വനഗതോ അഗമച്ഛവനാശ്രമം സാഖീവി പരിവൃത വിജന്യത്യങ്കിവാൻ വനേ വൽമീകരന്ദ്രേ ദൃശേ ഖദ്യോദ്യമിവ ജ്യോതിഷി തദ്ദൈവ ചോദിതാ ബാല ജ്യോതിഷി കണ്ടകേന വൈ അവിദ്യന്മുക്തഭാവേന സുസ്രാവാസക്തതോ ബഹു ശകൃന്മൂത്രനിരോധുപുൽ സൈനികാനാം ച ദർശനാൽ രാജശസ്തമുപാലക്ഷ്യ പുരുഷാൻ വിസ്മിതോ ബ്രവീൽ അഭ്യഭദ്രം നയുഷ്മാഭിർ ഭാർഗവസ്യ വിജയഷ്ഠിതം വ്യക്തം കേനാഭിനസ്തസ്യ കൃതമാശ്രമധൂഷണം സുകന്യാപ്രാഹവിതരം ഭീതാകിഞ്ചിൽ കൃതം മയ ദ്വേ ജ്യോതിഷി അജാനന്ദ്യ നിർഭിന്നേ കണ്ടകേന വൈ ദുഹിസ്തദ്വജ ശ്രുത്വ ശര്യാദിർജാതസാധ്വസാ മുനിം പ്രസാദയാമാസ വൽമീകാന്തർഹിതം ശനൈ തദഭിപ്രായമാജ്ഞായ പ്രാതാദുഹിതരം മുനേ കൃഷാൻമുക്തസ്തമാമന്ത്രയ പുരം പ്രായാൽ സമാഹിത സുകന്യാചവനം പ്രാപ്യ പതിം പരമകോപനം പ്രണയാമാസ ചിത്തജ്ഞ അപ്രമത്താനുവൃത്തിഭി കസിചിൽ ത്വതകാലസ്യ നാസത്യാവ ആശ്രമാഗതോ ത്വ ഉപുജയിത്വ പ്രോവാച വയോ മേ ദത്തമീശ്വരോ ഗ്രഹം ഗ്രഹീഷേ സ്വസ്യ യജ്ഞേ ആപപ്യ സോമപോ ക്രിയതാമേവയോരൂപം പ്രമദാനാം യദീപ്സിതം ബാണമിത്യുച ദുർവിപ്രം അഭിനന്ദ്യ വിഷക്തമോ നിമജ്ജതാം ഭവാനസ്മിൻ ഹൃദയ സിദ്ധമി നിർമ്മിതേ ഇത്യുക്തോ ജരയാഗ്രസ്തദേഹോ ധമനി സന്തതാ കൃതം പ്രവേശിതോ ശുഭ്യം വലീബലിത വിപ്രിയ പുരുഷാശ്രയ ഉത്തംസ്തു അഭീച്യാവനിതാ പ്രിയ പത്മസ്രജ കുണ്ടലിനം സ്ഥുലരൂപാ സുവാസസ താൻ നിരീക്ഷവരാരാഹോ സരൂപാൻ സൂര്യവർച്ചസ അജാനദീപതിം സാധ്വി അശ്വിനോ ശരണം യയോ ദർശയിത്വാവതിം തസ്യ പാതിവ്രത്യേന തോഷിതോ കൃഷിമാമന്ത്രയേ ദുർവിമാനേന ത്രിവിഷ്ടവം യക്ഷ്യമാണോ ദശര്യാദി ശവനാസ്യ ആശ്രമം ഗത ദദർശ ദുഹിതു പാർശ്വേ പുരുഷം സൂര്യവർച്ചസം രാജാദുഹിതരം പ്രാഹ കൃതപാദാഭിവന്ദനം അശിഷശ്ചാം പ്രയുഞ്ജാനോ നാദിപ്രീതിമനായിവ ചികീർഷിതം ദേ കിമിതം പതിസ്വയാ പ്രലംബിതോ ലോക നമസ്കൃതോ മുനി യൽ ത്വം ജനാഗ്രസം അസത്യസമ്മതം വിഹായ ജാരം ഭജസേ മുമുധ്വഗം കഥം മതിസ്യവഗതാന്യദാസദാം കുലപ്രസൂതേ കുലദൂഷണം ത്വിദം ബിവർഷിജാരം യതപത്രവാ കുലം പിതുശ്ച ഭർത്തുശ്ച നയസ്യതസ്തമ ഏവം ബ്രുവാണം പിതരം സ്മയമാനാ ശുചിസ്മിത ഉവാചദാത ജാമാതാ തവേഷ ഭൃഗുനന്ദന. ശശം സപിത്രേ തത്സർവം അയോരൂപാവിലംഭനം വിസ്മിത പരമപ്രീതസ്തനയാം പരിഷസ്വജേ സോമേനയാജയൻ വീരം ഗ്രഹം സോമസ്യ ജാഗ്രഹീൽ അസോമവരപ്യശിനോ ശവനീ സ്വേന തേജസ ഹന്തും തമാദദേ വജ്രം സദ്യോമന്യ അമർഷിത സവജ്രം സ്തംഭയാമാസ ഭുജമിന്ദ്രസ്യ ഭാർഗവ അന്വജാനം സ്തത സർവേ ഗ്രഹം സോമസ്യ അശ്വിനോ വിഷജാവിധിയൽ പൂർവം സോമാഹുത്യ ബഹിഷ്കൃത ഉത്തമാന ബർഹിരാനർത്തോ ഭൂരിഷേണി ത്രയ ശരിയാതേരഭവൻ പുത്ര ആനർത്താദ്രേവതോഭവൽ സ്വന്ത സമുദ്ര നഗരി വിനിർമായ കൃഷസ്ഥലീം അസ്ഥിതോപുക്ത വിഷയാൻ ആനർത്താന്തീൻ അരിന്തമ തസ്യ പുത്രശതം ജങ്ങേ കുകുദ്മി ജ്യേഷ്ഠം ഉത്തമം കുകുദ്മി രേവതീം കന്യാം സ്വമാദായ വിഭും ഗദ കന്യാവരം പരിപൃഷ്ടം ബ്രഹ്മലോകമവാവൃതം ആവർത്തമാനെ ഗാന്ധർവേ സ്ഥിതോ അലബ്ധക്ഷണക്ഷണം തദന്തമാധ്യമാനം സ്വാഭിപ്രായം നിവേദയൽ തശ്രുത്വ ഭഗവാൻ ബ്രഹ്മ പ്രഹസ്യതമുവാച അഹോരാജൻ നിരുദ്ധാസ്തേ കാലേന ഹൃദയേ കൃത തൽപുത്രപൌത്രനൃത്രണം ഗോത്രാണീജനശൃൺമഹേ കാലോഭിയാദസ്ത്രിണമ ചതുർയുഗ വികൽപിത തൽ ഗച്ഛദേവദേവാംശോ ബലദേവോ മഹാബല കന്യാരത്നമിതം രാജൻ നരരത്നായ ദേഹി ഭോ ഭൂവോ ഭാരാവതാരായ ഭഗവാൻ ഭൂതഭാവന അവതീർണോ ദ്വിജാംശേന പുണ്യശ്രവണകീർത്തന ഇത്യാദിഷ്ടോപി വന്ധ്യാജാം നൃവ സുബ്രഹ്മാഗത ത്യക്തം പുണ്യജനത്ര ആസാൽ ഭ്രാതൃഭിർദൃക്ഷവസ്ഥിതെ സുതാം ദത്വാനവദ്യാംഗി ബലായ ബലശാലിനി ബദര്യാഖ്യം ഗതോ രാജ തപ്തം നാരായണാശ്രമം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമംസ്യാം സംവിധായം നാമസ്കന്ദേ തൃതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So this Ila, when she was in the female body, a son was born. We talked about that. He is Pururavas, isn't it? Pururavas is him. He is also called island. And that's why Krishna calls it as Ila Gita. Just like Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, Dattatraya Gita, Ila Gita. The four Gitas in the 11th canto. Ekadasha Skandam is for these. So, Somavamsham, the Luna dynasty, begins from this Pururavas. Now, here first talked about the Suryavamsham, solar dynasty. And the first child, when it happened like this, neither male nor female, Manu became very disheartened. Manu became very unhappy. And he took to Krishna consciousness seriously. Again served Krishna very seriously. Then Manu had 10 children. 10 children were born after that. Beginning with Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku is the first one. So, it is from those 10 children, solar dynasty has come. Surya Vamsham has come from that. And, so first they talk about this son called Prashadra, Prashadra story. Particularly, and Prashadra has to go to the Gurukulam according to the system those days. That is in Vasishtha's ashram. Vasishtha is the guru who is teaching them the shastram. So he had to go and stay there. So, unlike today, those days, it was not like the way we are today, isn't it? Sending children to school, whole life of 10, 12 years in life, gone. Like that. Just, but rishis had a higher understanding of life. They were focused on self-realization. So therefore, whatever that education necessary for self-realization, they will teach. But useless education just to get a job and to study for that at the end was not considered very profitable in their attitude. Rishis thought like that. So, their philosophy was, when it's time to study, ready for this education, send them to the Gurukulam and stay there what is necessary. And whatever experience they had in the Guru's place, Gurukula means Guru's accommodation, is provided by the Guru there, and accept whatever that happens there. You can't complain anything about that. Unlike today, it's all different, isn't it? Whatever that happens, people have different understanding about education, and people are frightened to send children to school sometimes because of the problems that happens there. So, what did Vasishtha do with this child? He told him, you look after the cows. That's the way, their way of teaching. that he didn't have anybody to look after the cows, so he told him, you look after the cows. And there were many cows to be looked after. Although he is the son of the king, as far as spiritual master is concerned, no recognition of that, no importance given, because when you go to the spiritual master's place, humility is the first thing, and you got to have that humility. You may be anybody, it doesn't matter, it won't be accepted. So that is the way Gurukulam runs. So you can see how that relationship is important. Then over a period of time, now it becomes that guru has to look after the disciples' cows. It has gone the opposite way, because the whole relationships changes, the values changes, isn't it? So it was not like that. So at the night time, he was looking after the cows. It was total dark, and at that point a tiger or something got into the Goshala, where so many cows were there, and he was sitting there fully awake because he had to look after them. And this tiger walked in, and he didn't have any lamp, nothing to find out whether it was who has come, nothing like that. Vasishna has not provided anything to him, so he was sitting there. What he did was he pulled out his sword, knowing well that some animal has got in and is ready to eat in the cows. So to protect the cows, he pulled out his sword and whacked with the sword. And that hit the ear of the tiger, ear's tiger. But unfortunately, that is what it was, it hit. But in that process, the sword also hit the cow, and the cow's throat was broken. The cow died. Cow lost its life. The tiger, when it got hurt, it escaped straight away from there, thinking that there is a problem there. So tiger jumped out and escaped and ran away, but this cow got killed, and they noticed that in the morning when the sun risen. So exactly opposite thing happened, and Vasishtha came up in the morning. He said, one who cannot look after the cows, he is not qualified to run the planet or run the kingdom. He is not qualified to run the kingdom. This was Vasishtha's judgment straight away about him. So when this happened, he felt that he has no qualifications to rule the kingdom, and Vasishtha cursed him that he won't get the position. And so what he did was he went to the forest and practiced spiritual life, and went back to the spiritual world. He didn't stay back. So this is also another Prarabdha story. It was meant to happen. Prarabdha's nature is always like this. If it is meant to happen, it will happen. No matter what you try to do, you try to go against it, it won't work. It will happen in its own way. So in a big family, he was born like our Sudyumna, son of Swayambhu Manu, and childhood is spent looking after the cows of Vasishtha. But in spite of that, he didn't have the good fortune of administering the kingdom. He didn't get that opportunity. And therefore, ultimately, he had to leave everything and go to the forest. They're all princes, aren't they? Gone in the royal family. So that means you could have normally expected a very high material life for them. But that didn't happen for them due to Prarabdha. They went to the forest, engaged in spiritual life, and he went back. So in this ninth canto, you will see so many stories like this. Very, very interesting stories. And from many stories, you have a lot of things to learn also from these stories. Because the idea is that if you understand these stories properly, you will get a certain steadiness in the mind. You will be able to come to terms with life. Because otherwise, what happens when normally things happens in life, unexpectedly something happens, you get completely shaken by that. Why did this happen to me? Because we are planning our life in a particular way, but something else happens in life. It's not that what we planned always happens. Is it not? So generally, it can happen that sometimes, unless there is some proper understanding inside of life, And that you get from this ninth canto. That's the beauty of this ninth canto. There are so many stories in this. And how, because these Kshatriya kings were very much involved in family life. That's why for family people particularly, this ninth canto is a very instructive thing in this. That this, from these two episodes what we have seen this morning, you can see both in the case of Sudyumna and in the case of Prashagna, how their life turned, isn't it? Sudyumna was born in the royal family, princes, all the good education possibility with Vasishtha, complete, full of material opulences. Still, what happened to his life? Who can change that? He was meant to suffer that way, and it happened. It did. Even though Vasishtha tried to change the male form, and then Shiva changed to 1 month male, 1 month female, ultimately, no matter who does what, at the end, if you are meant to suffer here, you will suffer. You won't be able to escape from that. So that lesson from Sudyumna is important. And similarly, but Sudyumna was intelligent enough to give up everything and run to the forest and engage in spiritual activities and come out of this mess, what we are here now. Same thing with this Prashagna also. Prashagna was, although he could have probably gone back and become a king later, if everything went smoothly, but it didn't happen. Unfortunately, this one incident in his life, by killing that cow, Vasishtha turned, said, no, you're not qualified, because you killed a cow. And to that extent, they were strict also. Vasishtha was like that. So, like this, there are so many stories in this ninth canto. And another one, next one, is the Shariyadi's story. Shariyadi was a king, and he had a daughter called Sukanya. His daughter's name is Sukanya. And she, like the name, she was. Sukanya means a person who has a very good character. Very good character. Good bhavam and good swarupam. Good nature and beautiful and good looking as well. And the king was very fond of her, this daughter Sukanya. So wherever he goes, he will take Sukanya with him. When he goes on hunting also, Sukanya will go with him. So one day when he went on a hunting expedition into the forest, and they have finished their hunting, and the king was resting in the forest. He was taking some rest. And Sukanya was there with Sukanya's other friends as well, other friends with her. And they couldn't stay quiet. Naturally, they were curious to find out what's going on in the forest. They're coming from the palace. So naturally, they were attracted to all what was going on in the forest. And they were looking at different scenes in the forest while walking in that way. Suddenly, they saw a place where full of, anthill. A huge anthill they saw there in one place. And they have not seen this in the palace. You'll only see these things in the forest, isn't it? In the palace, you won't see them. So all these girls, they got attracted to this particular, the way that it is formed in the anthill. And they stood outside this anthill, they kept on looking at it. And they were surprised to see that anthill, in the sense that they saw some light coming from inside, from this anthill. And they were thinking, why there is a light inside this anthill? So what they did was, there is two separate places where these lights were coming out. So out of their curiosity, they took a thorn and started poking into these holes. They didn't know who was inside the anthill, who was inside this anthill. And they left after poking it, and then the blood came out from there. They were just fulfilling their curiosity, you know, just like children, how they do. The same way, they did that. They went away, but what happened was, when they left and gone away, in a short period of time, the army people who had come with the king, and the king as well, they couldn't pass urine or stool. They couldn't go to toilet anymore. All blocked inside. Every one of them. It all got blocked inside. They couldn't understand why this has happened. So, so then they inquired, whose place is this? What's happening? Who is somebody whom we can talk to? So then they heard that it is Chyavanamaharshi's ashram. Chyavanamaharshi's ashram was that. So Chyavanamaharshi is known for his own, he was another rishi, famous rishi, isn't it? So they felt that we must have done some offense here, upset Chyavanamaharshi. It must be the reaction of that. That's how king realized this. Ministers also said that something we must have done wrong here. So after a while, Sukanya also got the same problem, what the king and the soldiers had. Sukanya also could not go to the toilet. So it's become a problem there. So she comes and says to Shariyadi that I have a problem like this. I don't know what to do. It is getting difficult, he said. And she said that I made a mistake. I saw some two glowing things inside an anthill. I took this thorn and poked it and blood came out from that. I did this mistake. I don't know who that is, what that is, nothing. I have no idea, he said. And so all of them together got close to this anthill. They came and looked at the anthill. And in two places the blood was coming out. Blood was flowing from two places. So at that time he said that little by little they broke the anthill. Inside the anthill, Chyavanamaharshi is sitting there. All a bag of bones. No flesh inside. Only these two eyes are glowing, which they have poked with the thorn, right? And Chyavanamaharshi is known for his anger, like Durvasa. Gets angry. And if he gets angry, he can curse. And if he curses, that's it. That's the end of it. So these people have poked in his eyes. And but this is the most interesting thing. In reality, it was not a big problem. Problem was this, that Chyavana noticed these girls. So he wanted to see them. So what he did was, he opened up at the places where the eyes are there in the hill. And he has got the divine vision. He wanted to see them playing, these girls playing there. So he made these two holes himself. And these girls didn't know anything about Chyavanamaharshi. They came and poked into that. So, and through these holes he is looking at them. Chyavanamaharshi is looking at the girls through these two holes and observing them. So, that's where he got it. For that, he got the medicine for that. Now, if he is a young man, you can understand. But he is 114 years old, says in the Bhagavatam clearly. 114-year-old man is doing this. That desire has not gone away from inside. To show that. That is why in the Bhagavatam, to tell us all these things. Desire don't go. So it is he who has made these two holes and looking through that. So it's no point in talking about all this now. King knew the problem. He is a rishi. If he curses, and this problem they have got, that they can't go to the toilet anymore. So the king immediately fell in his friend and paid obeisances to him. So he asked for forgiveness, apologized on behalf of the girls, on behalf of Sukanya and the friends. The king apologized to them. Chyavanamaharshi says that you want me to forgive you? At this old age you have poked my eyes and broke them all, and now you want me to forgive you, he said. So the king held his feet and asked for forgiveness. He said, it has happened, what can I do now? It has happened like this. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. But please don't get upset. Knowing well that Chyavana can get upset. So if that's the case, he said, marry your daughter to me. This Sukanya, marry her to me. Chyavanamaharshi is 114 years old. Sukanya is probably 16, 17 years old, young girl. So, king didn't expect that he will put a request like this. She was very dear to him, to Shariyadi. So he didn't know what to do, but the problem is so serious that he can't go to the toilet. And everybody who is in the camp, nobody could go to the toilet. So He says that when he looked at Shariyadi, even his head is not properly fixed, it is shaking like this. And to marry Suganya to him, it was heartbreaking for her, for him, for the king. Isn't it? So, is that all? Both the eyes have gone now. So that's the situation. So the king didn't know what to do. King didn't know what to say, how to reply that. This is where that intelligence of Suganya comes in. Suganya knew what to do. What did Suganya say? Suganya says to the father, doesn't matter, I will marry him and I will stay with him, I'll look after him, I'll place him with my service. Suganya's personality, she spoke very strongly and the king agreed. King had no other choice now. Because if you don't agree, then you know the after effects is not very good. So it so happened that Chavana Maharshi was pleased, Suganya was pleased, and so therefore Shariyadi decided to marry Suganya to Chavana Maharshi. And that's how Chavana Maharshi married Suganya in the forest. So this chapter is all about Suganya, Suganya's personality, that intelligence in her. Suganya says, the way Suganya is looking at it, Suganya says, how fortunate I have to be to marry a rishi like this. Exactly like the way Devahuti married Kardama Prajapati in the third canto. You see? So, intelligence of the girl sometimes you will see like this. By pleasing Chavana Maharshi, Suganya knew that she can get what she wants in life. Particularly to have a relationship with a great rishi like that. You shouldn't look at Chavana Maharshi's swabhavam into this. Their spiritual power is so high because of their tapas austerities that they are capable of doing amazing things which we can't even imagine. That power they have, the rishis have. So just like Kardama Prajapati, Chavana Maharshi also is a great personality. You will see another person coming in the ninth canto similarly in the like that, Saubhari, another rishi. How he could change, he was so powerful that when he wanted to marry Mandhadav's daughter, Mandhadav didn't want to marry his daughter. Then what he, Mandhadav escaped because Mandhadav told Saubhari, then go to my palace, there are 50, I've got 50 daughters there. You can ask any one of them, if anybody agrees to marry me, I have no objection. That's how he escaped from the problem. Because Saubhari was underneath the water, performing penances for thousands of years. Due to lying underneath the water, his whole skin, the body, everything has become very, the muscle, everything has gone and it's all hanging. The flesh, everything was hanging. He was looking so ugly. And he comes and says to Mandhadav, I want to marry your daughter. Mandhadav says, didn't know what to answer. So Mandhadav says, you go and see all the 50 girls are there and you can select any one of them and marry whomever agrees to marry you. In that way, Mandhadav escaped from the problem. When he got there, all the girls were trying to run away, seeing him. So what did he do? By his yogic power, he changes his body and takes a youthful body. When he became very youthful, all the 50 girls says, we all want to marry you. So he married all the 50 girls later. This is the Saubhari story. So here, in the Shariyadi story, in Chavana Maharshi's story, what happened? Suganya knew Chavana Maharshi's power. This is what I'm saying. Vedic culture means these rishis. All these rishis, they kept this tradition. They were such powerful personalities. It is through them we got the Upanishads. It's through them we got all the Vedas. All the Puranas, everything is their property. It's through them everything has been given. So, so Suganya says, how fortunate I am giving an opportunity to serve this great sage like that. So, and I'm willing to stay here looking after him. So King says that best thing is to agree. Otherwise, this rishi will curse us and the whole family will be finished with that. So, Suganya married Chavana Maharshi. Suganya Chavana Yatha. And the king went back to the palace. King went back to the palace. So this story, even Valmiki has quoted in the Ramayana. So if Valmiki has to quote this story, you can imagine how Valmiki sees Suganya. as an example of a womanhood, women's nature. That means even for Sita Devi to take as an example Suganya, then you can imagine how qualified Suganya is. How qualified and intelligent Suganya is. So, in that relationship, Chyavana Maharshi never got angry once while Suganya was with him. So you can imagine how she managed to keep his temper under control. Cool all the time. That requires some expertise, isn't it? To keep the husband all the time in a peaceful state. That was her success, Suganya's success. So Suganya says to him that in many instances, even though Chyavana Maharshi wanted to get angry, couldn't get angry because of Suganya's behavior, that nature. Through her service, she pleased Chyavana Maharshi so well. That's what it is. So, people who get angry, if you notice, when they get happy, they will be like that. They will also go to extreme, isn't it? Those who getting very angry, when they get happy, they go to the extreme side there also. So Chyavana Maharshi also, when he felt happy with Suganya, he was so happy with her. He was so happy with her. So, by now, something else has happened. When Suganya goes to the forest to get flowers and dharba grass and everything for Maharshi. That's all Maharshi expects from Suganya. Like Kardama Prajavati from Devahuti. Her duty was not like today. Today's service is different, isn't it? Their service is different. Their service, what does the Rishi need? Rishi doesn't need anything except flowers, fruits, and the grass, dharba grass, for their sacrifices, whatever they have to perform. So when Suganya goes into the forest to get these flowers and everything, one or two people started visiting her there, Ashwini Devas, from the heavenly planets. Seeing this Suganya and her beauty, they started visiting her there. And they are the physicians of the heavenly planets, not our doctors, their doctors. Doctors from the heavenly planets, they are the Ashwini Devas, Ashwini Kumaras they are called. So, they will wait every day when Suganya leaves the ashram, because in front of Chyavana Maharshi, they couldn't come there. They knew that if Chyavana Maharshi curses them, they'll be finished. So they'll wait outside till Suganya comes from the ashram and go out to go get the flowers, everything. So that became their job. And Suganya did not take notice of them seriously, ignored them completely and carried on with her business. One day, this Chyavana Maharshi, he has an inward eye, eyes inside. So he knew what was going on. He doesn't have to physically see everything. Sitting there, he knew what was happening in the ashram. So when Suganya came back on that particular day, Chyavana Maharshi asked her, calling, Suganya, did you see anybody in the forest today? Did you see anyone today in the forest? Suganya said, yes, I have seen somebody there, he said. Did you ask them who they are? Suganya said, no, I didn't ask them who they are, he said. Because Suganya knew that Chyavana Maharshi will know who they are without being told, isn't it? So Suganya understood already the news has reached. So Suganya was very straight and honest about it, saying that I never had inquired who they are. They were coming and standing there and they are going away from there. So, and Suganya was told, Chyavana Maharshi told her, call them here, he said. So they were still around. Suganya goes and tells Ashwini Kumaras to come. So Ashwini Kumaras came there. They were like this, frightened. If he's going to get cursed, that's it. That's the end of life, isn't it? So they looked at Chyavana Maharshi and tried to sense what mood he is. On the one hand, because of the service of Suganya, Chyavana Maharshi is not so unhappy. But on the other side, he was a little bit concerned about this visit of Kumaras, Ashwini Kumaras. So he says to them that Chyavana Maharshi is saying to Ashwini Kumaras, you have been visiting this ashram for a few days now, haven't you? He said. They immediately fell at his feet and told him, yes, we were coming here, but please don't curse us. This was the request straight away. Now, Shravana Maharshi says to them, I have not called you here to curse you, but we need you we have some business with you. So they said, what do you want? We will do that for you. Said, you know that I got married recently. Look at me, he said, my situation. I look 150 years old, and look at my body, and look at Suganya, she's young. And it's not very nice to be a husband like this, my situation at the moment, the way I am. Have you got any medicine for this? Because you are coming from there, isn't it? The best medicine you must have. So you should give it to me, that medicine, he said. So they're saying that we don't have the medicine, but we'll make it for you. We'll make it for you. So they prepared a medicine, and that's what is Chyavanaprasham. But today's Dabur. The Dabur used that word, but it is Devi, the mix is not right. What Chyavana Maharshi has prepared. But all the devotees are buying. It is Vedic. They are buying that. How we are all living in a different world. So at one time in ISKCON, so many devotees are buying this because this is the only Vedic medicine they came to know, Chyavanaprasham. So they were buying that. So Dabur's business boosted heavily. This business went up. Anyway, so that Chyavanaprasham, once you take it properly, you will become youthful, very youthful, isn't it? But if you hear this story in the Bhagavatam and go and buy this Chyavanaprasham in the forest, even the health what you have got, you may lose it. That's also there. You have to be careful about that. So, this is the mistake happens always. We hear something from Bhagavatam, Puranam, and then we'll go and do something, thinking that it is authorized and bona fide and all that. And then we will take it and then we will get into trouble later. So, Chyavana's story was like this. Chyavana took this Chyavanaprasham and Ashwini Kumar has told him, take this and go and bathe in the tank and come back. As they said, he took the Chyavanaprasham, went and bathed in the tank, and when he came out, he was 20 years old. A very youthful body he had. So, when all these things happened, in the middle of that, after Chyavana Maharshi has turned his body into this youthful body, Chyavana Maharshi looked so beautiful, as beautiful as Suganya in many ways. And they were living a good life. It was at that time, Shariyadi wanted to see his daughter, Suganya. He comes to the forest to see the family. So in his mind, it is still Chyavana Maharshi is 115 years old, old man. Suganya is a young girl, isn't it? So when he came and saw this young man with Suganya, he didn't like it. He says, what's this going on here? And he pulled Suganya and gave her a good thrash for behaving like this. He said, what has happened to you? That you have created a bad name for me, as well as what you are doing is not the right thing. So when he said that, Suganya laughed. Because Suganya knows what has happened. King doesn't know. So he says to, Suganya says to Shariyadi, Daddy, this is my husband. But he has changed his body like this. And don't get angry with him or with me. Because all the story he had to say, what happened, how Ashwini Kumaras came, and through Ashwini Kumaras, how they changed the body. All this whole story, she repeated to Shariyadi. So, when he heard all that, that Chyavana Maharshi, due to Ashwini Deva's help, this has happened to them. So Ashwini Maharshi thought, this Ashwini Kumar has done a great favor, for which I have to give something in return for them. They didn't ask any money for the medicine. Who? Ashwini Kumar. But what else shall we give it to them? So there Chyavana Maharshi decided that when sacrifices are performed, yagam is performed, normally there is a share for all the demigods. But Ashwini Kumaras are doctors, aren't they? So Ashwini Kumaras don't have any share in the Havisa. Havisa means when the sacrifice is performed, there is no offering for them. Ashwini Kumaras don't have any offering. But why? Because from an aristocratic level, Ashwini Kumaras not on the same category as the demigods, Devadas, right? So they will not eat with them and they have no offering with them. This is Ashwini Kumaras. Although they will be called in when there is a problem with the health. When there is a health problem. So, just like you can see in the football matches, how they do. They keep in the same way. So Shariadi says, Shravana Maharshi says to Shariadi, I'll do one thing. What they have done to me is something I have to repay him back. Therefore, I will make an arrangement that in sacrifices from now on, they will also have a portion, Havisa, for them. And as soon as this was decided by Shravana Maharshi, and he decided to perform a sacrifice and offer the Havis to Ashwini Kumaras, Indra immediately sensed in the heavenly planets that this is the decision has been made. So he came over straight away. And he says to Shravana Maharshi that these are doctors, physicians, and you can't offer them Havis. Indra says this to Shravana Maharshi. And they are not even allowed to sit with us and to eat. Shravana Maharshi says to the king Shariadi, don't look at Indra. He is nobody. Who is he? He says. This is Shravana Maharshi's attitude. Continue with the sacrifice, he said. Indra says to Shariadi that I will cut your hands off. And he took his thunderbolt to cut the hands off. And Indra's nature, if anybody getting prosperous or better in life, he doesn't like it. Our Indra is known for that. You'll see this Indra's this behavior. So as soon as Indra pulled the hands out, the sword to cut his hands off, Shravana Maharshi says, wait a minute, he said, that let the hand stay like that. It will never come down from there. This was a curse from Shravana Maharshi. Indra didn't know what to do. Indra was in serious trouble. He couldn't bring the hands back. At that time, Indra says that we will agree to... This is Indra. Indra is like this. He will get into trouble everywhere. And this is why in Krishna's pastimes, you will see that Krishna, Indra comes after flooding Gokulam, Vrindavanam, everywhere flooded. And Krishna had to leave the Govardhana hill, and all the gopis and cowherd boys, everything had been sheltered under the Govardhana hill. And after that, one day Indra comes to visit Krishna, isn't it? For asking for forgiveness. Shuga Brahmarshi says there, this guy, Indra, he says, look at his arrogance. Even while coming to see Krishna, after doing all the offenses he has done to Krishna, while coming to see him, he's still wearing his big crown with all the jewels on that to show that I am somebody important still. That arrogance inside Indra. So that Indra's nature to show to us, that is why in the Bhagavatam these stories, that in spite of the fact that so many times he has been taught so many lessons, he never seems to learn the lesson. That arrogance in him. So he says to him that when Indra says, we have no objection giving them, and everything was pacified, at that time the hand came down. Up to that time the hand stood like this, with the sword in the hand. You can imagine. So from that day onwards, Ashwini Kumaras got a share in the sacrifices. And this is also another interesting story in this chapter. All this has happened because of what? The purity of Suganya. Suganya's capacity to change the situations with her power, that good intelligence in serving Shravana Maharshi, pleasing Shravana Maharshi, and the good intelligence, you can see her dealing with Shravana Maharshi, her dealing with her father Shariati, dealing with Indra, and everybody, she was so expert at it. And that you can see in this chapter. And this story, what you are reading in the Bhagavatam, is expanded to many, many chapters in the Mahabharatam. It runs into many, many chapters. So, in order to indicate to us if there is a good character like Suganya inside, even if it is any problems in life, still it should purify the situation. In other words, due to that purity in Suganya, in nature in Suganya, Chyavana Maharshi got benefited, Shariyadi got benefited, Ashwini Kumaras got benefited. Everybody got benefited. So, these stories in the Bhagavatam is to tell us that when this Krishna gets pleased with somebody so many times, and in several instances in this Bhagavatam, this story is trying to point out this one factor to us. Point out this one factor to us. So it's 10:30. We'll stop now and we'll have a few minutes kirtan, and then we can continue with the prasad. Jai Jai Atma Prabhu Ki Jai Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.